Now entering Nerdist.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Will Anderson! How's everybody? Now, by the way, I just like to get my money on the trumpet. That's why I... hello, how are you?
Hello.
So what we're going to do, we are going to take a break. You drink, whatever you want, then we're going to come back. We're going to have a good time. You got a lot of time?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Sick. You... Oh.
Oh, my God, it was so good.
I love you.
I felt like the classiest wrestler of all time.
By the way, all I really care about, and I'll tell you this once you say what you just said, and I can see the glow in your face.
It's true.
Is that the intros are, I love doing the intros. And the minute you said to me, I love that, I'm like, Jesus, this is going to be a fun 7 hours.
Right, I hope so.
Oh, anyway, 7 hours?
No, we'll edit
Troy
it down to 7.
Troy records the whole show. It's a lot of fun. You should have seen Troy today. He calls me up every, he goes, hey, Todd, it's Troy.
Shit, that's the wrong sound.
He lives in a stadium.
Shit,
I hate when things don't work. We'll get it. If nobody's in a hurry but me.
Hey, Troy, it's Todd. Todd, it's Troy. What if we bought, like, shitty beer that is known for over there?
Please leave a message after the tone.
Doesn't matter, as long as you play sound effects, it's professional. Hey, Todd, Troy, it's Troy. Hey, you could buy, like, Foster's and, like, act like we think everybody drinks that over there.
I go, yeah, but you think that's, like, a running joke? And, like, maybe he would think it was a shitty joke?
You're right, bye.
I swear to God, that to George Carlin, that's, we say that instead of swear to God on the show. Not that I care about swear to God, I just... then he called me back.
Hey, did you really want me to wear a bow tie?
How did you like that? We're all wearing bow ties, because you're here.
You know what, the only thing I would say about that is I loved it. But I wish I'd known.
Well, we didn't want you to know because then, but I do have...
I know, I hear what you're saying. I love the surprise that everyone has a bow tie. But, you know, here's what I would just have done. And I'm not complaining. I'm just saying this is the best thing ever. But if you wanted to, I would just have had a spare bow tie that I could have put on.
I have something for you. All right, we take a break. I have something for you. Now, since you like the intro, why don't we play them out the same thing? I'm an intro king today. Thank you, lyricist Joe. Why don't we play them out with the same thing? We will be back. Put a lot of reverb in that trumpet. Hey, Gabe, good job on the trumpet.
Thank you.
You're very professional. All right. Why isn't his mic on? Okay, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with Will Anderson. Like applause from those other shows. Oh, there's two people. There's something going on there. Oh, it's a professional show. Sure. That's right. That's the way we do it. Well, Will, how are you?
I'm great. I look, you know what? It was a good round of applause. Even the trumpet player applauded.
I know.
You know what I mean? That's commitment. But if the band's applauding, I was into it. It was like, it was good. It felt more rhythmical than everybody else's applause.
Let's hear it. Could you get your trumpet out one more time? I put a little reverb in my mic. Ladies and gentlemen, Will, you the bum 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 bum, Will Anderson. Thank you.
That was pretty great.
That's good. Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so here's where we're going to start. I feel good. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
Where do I... you know what? I'll do all this in the opening. All this. Do you have any medium soup? I don't know why that makes me laugh. These guys... No one ever says that at a restaurant. Do you have a medium soup? Okay, listen. I get that out of the way, that out of the way, that... I can do it all later. Yeah, let's get to this part. This will be fun. Mm-hmm. Put that over there. A lot. This is a lot to do, Will. It's not, you know, this is... It's a lot, this show. I don't know if I can do it any longer. I'm getting older. You said something to me. We met. Where did we? We met at the festival. I'm pretty sure it was the Montreal Comedy Festival.
It was.
It was the Montreal Comedy Festival.
We were on a roof.
And
yeah.
Okay. I don't know what you tell the people. I got a call from your publicist today.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Don't you mention anything about your. Hello, Will. Will.
By the way, I love any sound effects, even if they don't make sense. Who's got fucking time? Hello, that's my manager calling, trying to get me on the Tonight Show. All right, please come on. I don't want Will to think it's a shitty show. Come on. Wait till we get some seriousness. I can see him already. Listen,
we were on a rooftop in Montreal. Mm-hmm. We were smoking something through an apple, which I think is healthy.
Oh, you never smoked pot through an apple before?
It was an apple a day keeps the doctor. I don't know. Like you need him. Yeah, it was great.
And you said something that that resonated with me because it just to me it seemed like, oh my God, that's so true. If you don't remember saying it, you did. You said, fuck the police. No. You said...
Right? Am I right, though, guys?
Am I right? Come on.
Give us a call. Give us a call now if you agree with me. Give us
365-4100. You said that when you're... Maybe I'm going to butcher it a little. I hope you do remember it so you can clean it up a little. Uh-huh. When you're fighting for someone else's rights when it's not your rights, why else would you do it except that it's right? Does that mean... You said, like, it doesn't benefit you. What I took out of that was... Yeah, look, don't get me wrong. This sounds like I'm trying to say something positive, but the more other people have rights, the harder your life gets. But if you know it's right, oh, who gives a fuck?
That was exactly the point we were talking about. I can't remember exactly what I said, but I remember the conversation very clearly because we'd started with a much sillier conversation where I tried to say, if we could start the world from scratch and just divide up everybody's resources, how do you think we'd turn out? You know, if everybody just got the same amount, how would the world turn out? And you decided we had to move to another planet to make that work, and that was unfeasible in the budget that we had. So we moved on to something a little bit easier, which was that we started talking about the idea of... That me in particular as a white straight man like who's 40
that's
years
what,
old.
That's what it was because like, you already have all your rights.
Uh-huh.
You're white, everything. You're straight, and you're a man. So if you would just not yet, but I'm just putting them over here just in case we do them later because I love these things here when we're talking about this shit. Every so often I love to drop these in, Will, so you'll just know. These over here. Yeah, because you said you're basically, whenever a guy like you fights, it's for other people's rights. You already have all yours.
Right. So, well, the point is, I've grown up, I'm in the era where it's become shittier to be a white man. Now, I'm not saying that in the right-wing radio way, because I think it needs to get shittier to be a white man, because white men were so far ahead of everything else that it's just a natural, it's meant to be making it better for other people rather than it getting it shittier for a white man.
Yeah.
But my point was that I was arguing was, if you are a white man like me who thinks that gay people should be able to get married or we should redistribute some of our income so there's a Medicare safety net for sick people or, to pay for the disabled or whatever, I'm really just giving away something of mine. So the only reason you would fight for it is it's the right thing to do.
Did you hear what he just said, ladies and gentlemen? The man comes on our show with a fucking accent. He knows what the fuck he's talking about. Listen, turn your ear things up. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest tonight... I didn't mean to... You know what? Hold on. I want to get back to the... Please turn the reverb off, Aristotle. Does that cost us money? But you said that, and... hold on. I want to go back. I shouldn't have played the music. I'm so excited to play the music. I leave a great conversation to play dumb shit.
That white man.
About white men. Oh, yes. If I always look at it like when you said that, if you were in a room and you convinced everybody there that they were lesser than you, yes, your life would be easier. You convince those people. Right. Everyone's waiting on you. So when
when slavery was around, we got heaps more stuff done in our free time.
Right.
Do you mean but it's still a terrible thing should not have happened.
All you have to do is not give a fuck about anybody else but yourself. So that's what I took out of that. When you're fighting for other people's rights, your life gets – it sounds like a negative the way I say it, but I'm saying your life gets harder when you fight for other people's – some of other people's rights. So why else? For some reason, I said that into my head. So why else would you do it except that it's right? What? You like to work? You like to do more? You like to change your beliefs you already had? Why else would you go, look, you know – yes, it's right.
It's the argument that's made all the time. If you follow, the thing they always say is, you know, always bet on self-interest because at least you know it's trying, right? And the thing about self-interest is that normally, when you look at climate change or global warming, something like that, right? Now, there's mixed opinion. All the scientists who have nothing to gain, like 97% of them, think it's a problem and are saying, hey, you know this place, the one place that we have to live? We probably should do something about it because it's going terribly wrong. And then, a small percentage of people who just happen coincidentally to be paid by the oil and energy companies are saying, oh, well, maybe no. Look over there. Someone, a monkey with something shiny. And
do you know what someone told me? A friend of mine, actually a friend of mine's cousin. I make this shit up. Who cares? Anyway, I make up stories. All right, the cat's out of the bag. Anybody give a fuck? Stand up and forever hold your fucking shit. Anyway, no, this is my friend Eric that used to work on the podcast, Eric Olson, just so you know. Eric said that he was talking to his – a lot of people doubt global warming, and I'm not positive about it. I can't get into an in-depth conversation about it. But I said to Eric one day, I go, well, even if you can't reverse the damage – let's say you can't. I love even ifs because, God, does it even – it's like, I'll give you an even if. You can't. There's no fucking way we can reverse it. Well, still, why be a gluttonous pig while you're here? Right. Okay. But then the question becomes, can you reverse it? I said, well, you know, the air quality is better in Los Angeles than it was, from what I understand, in the 70s. Uh-huh. Not a teeny bit. Fucking amazing. So my friend Eric, whose dad doesn't believe in global warming, he didn't ask him the question so he could lie and hide it and backtalk and, like you just said, look over there. He went just out of the nowhere. He goes, that was the air quality better? He goes, oh, yeah. And he doesn't even know he's arguing with himself because he doesn't believe. Of course it's reversible. Of course we can do great things, you know?
Of course we can. And of course that we can make the – our own stupidity is killing us. Did you see that stupid article? This is how enforced misogyny in particular – and this is the big issue of our time, you know, that women are finally getting a proper voice and finally saying, hang on, we deserve to be treated as – we're half the world. We deserve to be treated as half the population and be paid, you know, half the money and be treated the exact same way and not have to fear that when we have a relationship that person is going to kill us or cause us violence in some way. The hurricanes, did you see this article in the paper?
No.
That female hurricanes kill more people than male hurricanes. Do you know why? Because we are so inherently misogynist as people that men in particular aren't as scared of female sounding hurricanes as they should be.
So
they hear oh, it's Hurricane Sally or whatever, and they're like, oh, no girl's going to tell me what to do. And so then they die in the hurricane. But if it's like Hurricane Brad, they're like, oh, we better go inside. Brad's going to fuck shit up.
Do you hear what he's saying, ladies and gentlemen? I bring a guest in here. He makes sense. Stop what you're doing. This is America and part of Australia. That, do you think, please take the reverb. The one thing I ask you to
Chris Hardwick said we needed fuck tons more reverb.
Yeah, that sounds what he would say.
Those are his words.
Yeah.
I asked him what he did one weekend, and Aristotle goes, I ate a fuck ton of cookies.
Yeah.
I love that expression.
How many is that, though?
I don't remember.
Please, okay. Please.
More than a shit ton.
All right.
More, it is. It's in between slightly. A shit ton and a fuck. But back to what you said. Is there true? That's crazy.
It's true.
Jim Kirkman was right.
About what?
She told me the same thing last night. She called me at 4 in the morning. No. Okay, let me take the conversation a little different. I'm very excited to have you tap into this because you clean my head sometimes. You say things in a way that cleans my head. Okay, there's that. That goes over there. Oh, okay. I put it here. I'm curious of this. Doug Stanhope said something. Now, look, I don't agree with everything Doug says, but guess what? Most of what he says I agree with, so when I don't agree with it, I just think of all the fuck ton of shit he says that I do agree with, and that's when I love him. He was saying that when it comes to – we're starting to make a little progress. I always am careful the way I say it. When women are raped, that we blame them, or you know that whole area, and we're starting to understand it. But for some reason, we still think it's all right to make a joke about when people are put in prison. That we go, oh, good, they'll go in prison. They'll get fucked. Basically, they teach them a lesson. And I'm going to play you something that our listeners heard, and then we're going to decide whether this woman's right or our last shred of dignity to prove that we're better than other people. Better than the people that – let me play this first. This was a woman that was brutally attacked. And I always preface this just in case I picture one person listening. The fact that she forgave her brutal attacker obviously doesn't mean she wasn't having lunch with him. It doesn't mean that she doesn't have still moments during the day where she fantasizes the revenge. I'm sure every single emotion goes through her body. But what we're celebrating about this miraculous woman is that what won at the end of the day – not at the end of the minute, at the end of the minute, I'm sure every emotion ran through her mind. It was a brutal attacker. But in the courtroom, in this thing, they say she gave the her attacker a gift, and the gift of forgiveness. And this is her. It's very hard to understand what she's saying because she's still learning to get her language back. And I'm going to tie it into the Doug Benson thing and Doug Stanhope. There's only one thing Doug Benson ever said. Anyway. He knows I adore him. I adore everybody. Look at that guy riding the bike. Anyway, so this is her in the court. This is her explaining on 2020 why she chose to do. It's not in the courtroom. It's her on 2020 explaining why she chose to do what she did.
Travis Forbes.
Travis was the guy that attacked her.
He was
acting
out of fear, and hatred. I choose love and peace over fear, and I won.
Yeah, I won. So either she's right or, no, the other people are right. Like, go in there. I know a lot of people that say that. And I'm like, no, that's right. Does that make any sense?
Here's what I figure is that your life is not a documentary, right? Like, you know when somebody says that idea of when you're about to die, that your life flashes before your eyes, which, by the way, is not true. I almost died a couple of years ago swimming alone on a beach, and I went for a swim and I got caught in a rip on a beach, and I was like, you know that moment where I literally just was like, I'm not going to make it back in. And it was such a ridiculous moment that you impart your life with so much meaning every day, all these bullshit things that you get concerned about, and then I just went for a swim alone on a beach and I was going to die and my life was going to be over, right?
Can I interject something really quick? Course. Well, you know, not that I usually bring this up, I had a heart attack, and to tell you the truth, all I thought about in that moment was I had a party at my house the next day, and I was going to have to clean it all up when I got home after my heart attack. So I got to agree with you.
Right.
No, nothing flashed in front of me except I'll have to have a housekeeper, then I get to get the gardener, he takes down all the shit.
That was seriously what mine was like. It was like, I wish I'd erased my internet history. they'll still miss me, but just a little less. And,
by the way, I think about that. I don't have anything on the internet because I don't. So there's nothing there anybody could find. Well, Jake knows anything that I would be looking at, but because he has every one of my passwords. Matter of fact, I bet this motherfucker would keep me alive for another week or two to get some of that. Well, what would you get? Debt?
Yeah, PayPal money.
Yeah, my PayPal money. I started a PayPal, and I want to talk to you about that just to get money because I like money.
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, let me not. So we were talking about the. What were we talking about? I'm sorry.
Okay, so.
I started a Kickstarter, which we'll talk about later, because I like money.
All right.
I'm not trying to raise it for anything. But there's true. To George Carlin.
Yeah.
I want money. And I want to talk about that later.
All right.
But hold on.
But
I'm
need an offshore. You need an offshore PayPal if you're going to really rip people off. You need a PayPal in Bahamas or something. But
are you writing this down, Jake?
The point that I wanted to make really was that in that moment, that if your life flashes before your eyes, which it did not to me, but if it's meant to, you don't have time for your whole life to flash before your eyes. What's going to flash before your eyes is the way you remember your life. I used to love it more when you would take one photo from a roll of film and you would put it on your fridge and that was your memory of that party. Everything that you remembered about that night was funneled through that image, that look on that face, and that became your memory, right? And after a while, you remembered that version of that story better than you actually remembered what happened at the party. These days, everything's recorded. You could actually just re-watch the party on everybody's, you know, phones and Instagrams and updates and whatever and recreate it. And you know what? It won't be anywhere near as good as that, like, you know, that photo that you just have mythologized
and
over
the years.
And does
this come back to the
woman?
So forgiving.
This is my whole point of this is I think that you
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to yell at you.
No. I think you have a choice you don't have a choice of what happens to you. Unfortunately, to all of us, good and bad things happen to us. Here's the thing that you do have power over, how you remember your stories and how you want to remember your life. You know what? You don't have to remember exactly how it happened, and you don't have to get the same message out of everything. You can take a bit of your life and you can, you know, choose love, as she did. And she went, you know what? Now I own this moment, and now this moment makes me a more powerful person, and it doesn't, you know, make it. I still wish it probably didn't happen. I'm not going to say I wish this happened, but you know what? It happened, and I'm a better person because this happened, so, because I own this now. I guess that's what I was trying to say.
It makes total sense. And then it makes the people, by the way, the people that say the other end of it, like, yeah, they'll get thrown in jail. It's like, hey, look, if I thought throwing people in jail and being, you know, mean to them and horrible to them lessened crime in the world. By the way, that would still be wrong to do it, but you'll get what I'm saying. If I thought, say, oh, yeah, in countries where they throw them in jail, the meaner they are, it really lessens the amount. I'd go, fucking do whatever you want then. But it doesn't.
But it doesn't.
We owe it to the people that they hurt to treat those people decent. Because the more decent we treat them, maybe the more we can get into their mind. We're not going to – no one can get into that person's mind that they don't trust and maybe even love. So maybe if someone in jail trusted and loved the people, hey, I get it. I'm not a fucking, oh, man, I'm a hippie, put on your moccasins. And I get it. They have to be put away. Unfortunately, as sad as if you knew their history, how they got to where they got, whether it's whether it's their fault or whether it's not somebody's fault, they still have to be put away. But while they're away, if we could figure them out, and we're only going to figure them out if they trust who's keeping them, and we could end, couldn't we end rape in jail if we wanted to?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course they could, right? Or at least considerably cut it down. I mean, like, you know, it could be a rare thing that happened, like murder in jail or, you know, those extreme things that still happen in prisons. But we have it – well, particularly, here's what happens. And like, in America – and again, I hate as an outsider. I don't think there's much in, like, coming to America and saying what I think's wrong with America. Like, and plus, we're your number one ally. We are Milhouse to your Bart Simpson. Whatever dickhead thing you do, Australia's first there. Like, you want to go back to Iraq? Okay, fuck it. What? Okay, mission accomplished again. Let's have another crack. You know what I mean? We like the sequel. But, you know, we're with you guys, but this idea that you can somehow, you know, solve... Anyway, I don't know. Not exactly the point I was going to try to make there.
You're fine. That's what's great about any podcast. You take your time. You feel you got lost?
I did get a little lost.
It's okay. It's all right. You know what?
I was doing too much justification about why I wasn't going to make fun of America, and then I forgot why I was going to make fun of America. That was literally what it was. I was about to launch into it.
Hey, welcome to my fucking world.
And then I had that moment where it was like, you can't just tell them what's wrong from the start. But
you can. I'm the king of prefacing.
Yeah,
I preface so much. By the time I remember what I'm talking about, and you know what the worst about prefacing is?
Uh-huh.
A long setup. My setups are so long that my last 5 seconds, I make everything make sense. And then somebody interrupts me. I'm like, wait, you just heard 3 minutes of prefacing. I didn't even get to make my point. But anyway, we move forward. Here's the last thing we're going to talk about on the serious, whatever. And then we're going to take a break, and then I'm going to get some fresh air, and then we're going to – we have another intro for you.
Oh, another one?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I have three for you. But I want you to tell me which one you like the best.
Oh, well, you could have told me that at the start, so I could have
– We could have really soaking it in.
Right.
Okay.
Make some notes or something.
You said, oh, by the way, I want to start with the lightest point here. I have a hard time believing, you know, when you see religious people that are very religious, and then they're in a maybe a religious rock band. Uh-huh. I have a hard time believing anyone's in touch with the Lord if they're still frosting their hair.
Uh-huh.
Because I think, well, you might, and you might think, now, by the way, I'm not making fun of frosting your hair, because I know some people, they do it. Some people, it looks shitty. Some people, it looks really cool. So if you're listening, oh, how happy are the people? We got some people out there that might do it.
Right.
And they were in a band, maybe not, but they get it. No one knows. They're like, oh, at least Todd said that. But a lot of, you know, I think if you're frosting your hair, you probably aren't. You're not sending a message that you got. Who speaks to God and then thinks it's necessary to frost their hair? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying. I think if you spoke to God, you wouldn't even give a shit about that many materialistic things. You might still want a place to sleep. No, you definitely would. You still might want a car in this society. But that's where religious people really are fucking it up. And I've told this story before. I'm repeating myself to you. When it comes to what crumbled religion, when they're all worried about the people that don't believe in it, history's going to write itself that they did it all by them fucking selves. Self. Someone's going to go, you know what they needed to do is stop owning so much shit, because people would believe, oh, yeah, if you spoke to the Lord upstairs, you probably wouldn't care about materialistic things as much. But here's what I wanted to ask you.
Okay, just before you do that,
yes.
The point I was trying to make was this. If you go to wars and you build prisons, then eventually what happens is that your business model, your economic model is built on filling your prisons and continually going to war. The problem is that so much of the American economy goes to paying soldiers and building weapons that you constantly have to be in wars with places, because those businesses, which are big businesses that fund the lobbying, that funds the government, they are not in the business of peace. They're like, well, then we don't get to sell our bombs to anybody. So you've got to think about that process a little bit, and you've got to think about the idea, if you keep building prisons, guess what happens eventually? You have to get people, so they start putting people in prisons for shit they should not be in prison for.
But Will, I don't even know if you have the answer to this. I say I refuse to be a pessimist. I still think the world can change.
Oh, no, I think it, no, we're the greatest of all generations.
Like, oh, I love you.
No, but so we are. There is no doubt about that. I carry around in my hand a computer that is more powerful than the first rocket that ever went into space. I bought that affordable supercomputer for less than $600. It is not connected to any wires. I can speak into this affordable supercomputer. My message flies around the planet, dodging all the other messages to another person. I'm not really sure how that bit works. Please, right into the show. Explain to me. But
I'm glad to hear you say that, because, first of all, some people might feel differently, but I also feel the same way. Look, I'm not saying it's perfect today, but I often tell our listeners, it's getting better. We're as a society, we've done a lot of good things. Youth today has done a lot of good things.
My God.
So, but as far as what you said, here's what I wanted to talk about, the last thing before we take a break. And I actually wrote – I don't usually print it out, but if I'll print it out, I'm pretty good at going long, but then I'm going to shut up and listen. Obviously, that's why I have a guest. Some of our listeners are like, hmm. But I wanted to say this. I'll read this, and then we'll have our talk. Okay, so here we go. I thought about this. A lot of times on the show, whatever you want to call it, an atheist or an agnostic – I realized something. I've said this on the show before, but I want to repeat it, maybe in a different way, that for whatever the reason, whenever you talk about religion, people sort of put their gloves on. They think it's a fight. And I thought about it for the first time 2 days ago. I went, oh, if only I can convince you this isn't a fight. Like, I want this world to be a better place. Like, I don't want to strip from you. I'm scared shitless. I don't know where I go when I die. I really don't. I'd like to believe I'm positive, because that must feel comforting. But I don't know. And sometimes I don't think about it for a year. Sometimes I lay in my bed 3 nights in a row and I think about, where do you go? And I think, oh, I'll be dead. Who cares? But I don't want to be dead. I like it here. So I get it. So when you defy religion, a lot of times what makes – let me read these, and then because I'll go out of my way. I learned one thing. Before you talk about religion, you have to take time to find out what religion means to them and what being an atheist or agnostic means to you. Example, some atheists believe – people go, well, you're an atheist. You don't believe in a higher power. Jen Kirkman says, oh, my God, I can't go push the ocean back. So right there, you might get into an hour conversation with someone, and the whole time, if you don't let them know that, they think, oh, you don't believe there's a higher power? And you go, oh, my God, yes, I do. So you have to take time, and it sucks, because sometimes I'm so passionate, I want to talk. You're religious, you're so passionate. But if you're going to have any goddamn conversation that's worthwhile, you have to stop. What does it mean when you say you're an atheist? And what does it mean when you say you're religious? And only then can you enter into a conversation. And that's hard to do. But and then we'll go back. But explain. Oh, and this is one of my key points. I never mentioned this. Most people take it for granted that when you don't believe in a God, that he disappointed you. And not at all. Matter of fact, it's the opposite. Look, not to sound overly campy or whatever the word is, I've had a good life. It's usually for other people. Like, I once saw a woman on Oprah saying, why didn't you thank, what is your reason for not thanking God when your child came home from the military? And she goes, well, I really don't want to enter into a religious conversation, and it's not. She goes, because to enter into it, I would have to know so much. I know nothing except this. I know that those same mothers that lost their children prayed to the same God that I did. And I'm not willing to tell them that God works in mysterious ways. So, you know, she got her son. So that's how I feel. Like, no, I've had a good life. It's because of other people. And that we're not arguing with these people. Some people, some people that are atheists, I've heard, oh, they're pushy. And I'm wondering how many really are pushy. I wonder if it's that they're taking away a belief that you know where you go when you die, so they might seem pushy to you when they're not. Last thing. It's not in a combative way. If only you knew that I want this world to be better. And here's the last thing, then you know by the crumple of that paper that I'm about ready to listen. I thought about the tangible reason why, and when I say, you know, we said you have to say, what does God mean to you? That he answers prayers, that there's a rhyme and a reason, that it might be negative. First of all, there's never a time we can go to when it's worked. Because believe me, if there was, you'd get people to go there. People are feelings. They're struggling right now. If you can go back to a time when this world prayed and they were religious and we were decent to people, you'd get people to fucking go with you. They'd hustle like motherfuckers. If you went, look at the way we treated people in 1958, and then people pull at the internet now and they look it up, they'd be like, fuck. Right. But there isn't. You say it, but there isn't. And here's the tangible reason that I think it might be better to say to your children this. I don't know. We live in a world where a lot of great things happen. You'll meet awesome people. You'll find out that the human species can be unbelievably decent. But then bad stuff happens. I don't know why, but bad stuff happens. But when you tell them that it's all for a reason, if you told them, like, be kind to people while you're here, because if you don't, it hurts their feelings. It's all for what's here on the earth. When you be nice to people, because if you're not, it hurts their feelings. They can see other people. They believe there's other people. But when you tell them it's for a man upstairs, and that man upstairs seems to work in weird ways, some weird ways at a young age, kids don't even want to, like, what does he do? This is a God that they say gives, you know, kills people, works in mysterious ways. It sounds like a little kid can't wrap his head around that. I don't know if I want to be good for this person upstairs because I don't know how the fuck he even works. So it confuses a kid. But maybe the world, we're so scared shitless that there'd be anarchy if we didn't believe that there was a man upstairs, even though the fact that even in times in this society where we really did believe that there was a man upstairs, there was anarchy, that I think if we just told children the truth, that, you know, that we don't know why there's good, that we don't know why there's bad, but, you know, just be good for something that's visual to them, not confusing to them, that we... the world could go in a better direction. Did I say that right?
I have nothing to offer on this subject. No, no, I have so many things I would love to say to you.
The floor is yours.
I will try to remember each of the points as we went through.
I should have stopped a little bit at a time.
But the first thing I would say is, okay, well, I don't believe, and I have never believed really, and I know that I don't believe because all the things they say you're not allowed to do, I do them and enjoy many of them. Like, there is times in my life where, you know, I've been in a situation where I've been having a lot of fun and I've gone, well, this proves I really don't believe. Like, this is like, you know, you can't, this one would come up. If it really happens, if you really think, just before you do this, if you really think there's going to be a questionnaire at some sort of gate situation, this is the final line. I've done those things. So, I don't believe it. B, the fact that I have had a great life, I'm not special. And that's why I know it's not true. The thing I know about myself is I'm not special. My dad's a farmer who lives on the road that is named after my grandfather who built that road. My dad's lived on that road for 71 years in a row. My brother is a farmer on that road. There wasn't three wise men there the day that I was born, but I've had the best life. Like, I don't believe. I try to be a nice person, and I try to be nice to other people because we're all living on this planet together.
When you're saying the rules that would, in let's say, the Bible, that would deem you a nice person, I don't follow those rules.
Right.
And I've had a great life.
Great life.
Yeah, I would echo exactly right? what you're saying, yes.
And I don't think I'm a bad person. In fact, I think you'd find at least some people, close people to me, who would consider to be a positive influence in their lives, right? But not because it was written down in some book. Now, the second thing I would argue, and I'm certainly a person who believes that the right to swing my fist stops at another person's face, right? You know, you can believe whatever you want to believe, and I can believe whatever I want to believe, and it's not a problem until one of them starts intersecting with the other person, right? And I also offer this. This just works for me. This is what I reckon. I'm not smart enough to know whether there's a God or not. The joke I always make in my act, I'm sorry, this is actually a joke I do.
It's okay.
But the joke I always make in my act, I say, what the fuck would I know? I didn't understand the end of Donnie Darko. Do you know what I mean? Like, who am I to suddenly start, you know, spouting off that I understand the inherent meaning of all the universe? I do not. I just have worked out something that seems to work enough for me. I don't need God in my life to be nice to other people. But you know what? I'm an atheist that stops at that, because if I don't believe in something, I'm done with that now. That's all I need from that. Like, there are some atheists, you ask that question, are there some who are too strident? I think there are, because for me, who would consider myself to be an atheist, there's the atheists who, when they hear about that, are like, oh, great, we've got a newsletter. Can you write something for it? I'm writing a book. Can you put a chapter in it? I'm like, oh, no, I just, like...
You don't want to mirror the behavior that you're trying to
right.
get out of.
Yeah, right. Can you come to our meeting? Part of the reason I didn't like the other thing was they have a meeting every Sunday that's compulsory. I don't like meetings. Don't start doing meetings.
Let me interject real quick, yeah. though. Because no one's defying what we're saying, that there are some people that are mirroring the exact behavior.
Right.
I'm just wondering if those numbers are lower than people on religious side might believe. Because I know most of my friends that are atheists say exactly what you just said. They almost say it in a way of like, oh my God, no, I'm not positive. You can't say that enough to people.
Uh-huh.
No, they're like, I'm not fucking positive at all. I have no fucking idea. But... that sort of mirrors what I just said about if you teach children, we don't know, but while we're here, we know that if you – what about a man upstairs? That's not work. They can't right. see it. Children can't see it, but they can see a tear coming out of their brother's eye when they do something wrong. They can see – that's so real for them. So just teach them that.
Yeah.
I don't get how someone would think that didn't work. That's hard for me. And by the way, if somebody believes in something – that I don't agree with, because the whole thing is, well, what are you arguing, Todd? What are you arguing? So people believe this, you believe that. Well, because sometimes in the religious area, yeah. they believe things that are...
So this is what I would argue as well. It's like, I think for every outrageous atheist, you've got to think there's that outrageous person on the other side, you know, the outrageous religious nutter. And I think a lot of the time, very nice people who just believe in God and go to church on Sunday and it makes them a nice person, they, you know, like that sort of thing, they get, you know, tarred with the same brush as the extremist right-wing people who don't like abortions and gay marriage and, you know, all
that
stuff.
I'm going to ask you a question, and it might be dickish of me.
Uh-huh.
Because I do agree, I mean it from my heart, to George Carlin, that there are people that are agnostic or atheists that mirror the exact behavior that they, you know, of religious people. But if you had a gun to your head right now, I'm going to have two questions. And someone said,
I'd be like, well, it's America. There's a chance. Every time I leave my flat here, I understand that there's a chance that there'll be a gun to my head at the end of the night.
I like that he says flat. Gives my show a little
sorry,
class.
Yeah, sorry.
No, don't be sorry. That's why I'm wearing a bow tie.
Condo or something.
I knew you were going to. No, I like flat. Matter of fact, say flat. If anybody ever says anything but flat on this show,
flat.
We need to class it up a little. If you had a gun to your head,
uh-huh.
the reason I like this expression, yep. because it's like, don't stop overthinking it. There's a gun to your fucking head. Well, I don't want to answer this question. I want him here. Well, I'm going to blow your brains out. So fucking answer it.
Uh-huh.
You might, where the fuck is Todd going with this?
I don't know.
And you thought, are more people into recycling that are atheist or religious? Which group are you going with?
I would say atheist. But that's my own prejudice.
If you asked people, by the way, this could be proven if they gave me a show,
yeah,
like Jon Stewart, but I would for socially. I think you're, okay, by the way.
I would think that the religious right make an argument a lot of time with climate change that only God can change the weather and only God can change the planet. So I think they would be less likely to think that, you know, I have to do something.
By the way, me thinking, a lot of people could go, of course, Todd, you think it. Oh, please, I hope I'm not that shallow to just take my own beliefs and then jam decency into it. If you had a gun to your head, by the way, here's the weird thing about this. Yeah. I think if you asked even God-believing people this, if they could win $10 million, it's funny how $10 million will make you think, I could give a fuck what I believe. I want this fucking money if there's answers here.
Right.
Atheist?
Also, this is a great idea for a show.
Yeah. Atheist?
Like, gun to a head or $10 million.
Yes. Right? By
but
the way.
But you don't know which it is. You have to go, are you willing to go for the final
you
round?
Ready?
It's either a gun to your head or $10 million. If you get it wrong, you either lose $10 million or your life. We could sell that show.
I know what Jake is looking for over there. The game show. And now, for $10 trillion. Hold on one second here. Here's another one. And I know, I think I cut you off. One more, I'll give you an example. For gun to your head, do you think more people would be into no physical, like not even spanking to their children, religious people, or atheists? Which is going to have a heavier population that go no hitting at all?
No hitting at all, I would, I would say atheist people probably. Right?
Okay. First of all, I'm glad you answered the way I want. Why? Because I like being right? No. Because I think what it has to do is change.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
Yeah, of course there's dick fuck atheists. How do I have to say it to let someone out there in the other eye? Of course there's atheists that are get the fuck away from me. You're mirroring the behavior. But what we're saying makes sense. Uh-huh. And we might not be able to change a 60-year-old's view, but there's some 18-year-old listening right now, an 18-year-old kid listening right now going, why do I smell that that's probably right? What does God have to do with recycling? What does God have to do with it?
Well,
it's changed.
Well, because it's an old thing. Like, I mean, because it's about, like, it's, you know, if the Bible was like iTunes and it updated every 6 months and it kind of changed the bits that, you know, they got a little bit better, then people might be a bit more, you know, it might be a bit more useful in this modern day times. But I wouldn't trust my dad to reprogram my DVR, you know what I mean? Why would I trust instructions that were written 2,000 years ago on how, like, iPods weren't invented? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you don't know about the, like, why are you giving me advice about modern day life? I don't have a neighbor with an ass. Like, this is impractical shit that I will never need to know about, you know?
Jimmy Dore has a great joke about that. Who, you know, I always say in a podcast, you can be preachy. You can be preachier than funny. That's that's why I love this vehicle, because I like to be funny, but also sometimes, you know, in my act, it has to be funnier than it's preachy.
Sure.
So if you're going to make an opinion in your act, believe me, I love it, but be funnier than preachy.
Right.
And he says, when it comes to trusting your parents on their religion, he goes, these are people you wouldn't let buy you jeans.
Right.
But somehow you go, maybe they got the religion thing right.
Right. And what do they know? Like, I mean, I was lucky enough that I grew up in a family with, because okay, on a very base level, and again, I don't want to, if it makes you a nicer person and it hurts no one else, I really don't have a problem with it.
I'm going to interject really quick, five seconds. That is the main thing that I could not agree with you more. We're not sitting having this debate because people disagree with us. We're having this debate because some of the ramifications of other people's beliefs come along. We're not having this conversation because if someone else believes that, I think you should be kind and loving to every person on this planet, no matter who they are, for God. I think you should be kind and loving to every person on this planet for your own self. That's not what we're having the conversation. The other side has done a lot of destruction. So go ahead. I apologize.
I can't remember what I was going to say.
Nah, fuck. We can edit it. Take a second.
What was I going to say? Does anyone remember the point I was making?
Does anybody? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. Hold on one second.
That was some pretty good advice. Yes, this is actually a very good recap. I was talking about the idea that I grew up in a household that only half of the people were religious. Like, my dad doesn't believe in God at all, and I wasn't raised that sort of way. But my dad said something to me very early on. That was an excellent... By the way, if we ever need to go on the road, as you as my prompter, you as my Wikipedia, and also trumpet player. Like, this has worked out really well. He just said to me one day, because I said to him, I said, Dad, why don't why don't you believe in God? And my dad just said to me, he said, I'm going to tell you something, but you're not allowed to tell your mum. And this is my dad who's lived on the same...
I'm fucking Martha.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
which was a cow. And which was horrible. Horrible.
I'm so glad you made her a cow. You know why? Because I went to Martha for a name. Fucking who? How old am I? Martha. A cow could be Martha.
My dad's like 71 and he grew up in the country. There he could know someone called Martha.
I don't want to make you forget. Go.
All right. So my dad said to this, he said, here's the secret. He said, no one really believes in religion. And I said, what do you mean by that, Dad? Like, it seemed like such a cryptic thing for my, father to be saying in, like, some paddock and field, as you guys would say. And he said, you go and ask a Christian whether they think that a Hindu is right. And they will tell you that it's not right. Of course, their religion is ridiculous. And you ask a Hindu what they think of a Christian, or if you ask a Catholic what they think of a Protestant, he said, they all don't believe in God. They just believe in their own thing, but they don't believe in God. They don't believe in, like, they share more in common with someone who doesn't believe in any God. Because we, like, most people, if you're a Christian, guess what you don't believe in? 100 gods or 200 gods or however many other gods there are. Guess what? By being a Christian, you don't believe in them. So guess what? You don't believe in God. You share that with me. I just have, like, you have 100, I have 101. We're not that different. We agree on 100 gods that we both don't like believe in. We just have one exception. That's barely anything, right?
There's some author. I'm an author, but he says that's how close we are. There's only what we're talking. You don't believe in so many gods. I don't believe in so many gods. And the other thing, echoing Jimmy Dore's sentiments again, if that's the right way to say it, sort of reminded me as you were talking about your dad that. The reason what you just said made sense to me is because I'm using ration. I try to ration into beliefs. Uh-huh. But you can't ration somebody out of something that they didn't ration into.
Right.
And once you realize that, you go, oh, fuck, and we fucked? That means I can't change anybody's beliefs.
Right.
Older people can change, but our hope is in our youth.
And this is where I agree with you. And this is where I wanted to get to at the end of this was, that's why I don't think that we should be able to tell kids. Because you know what? Anything we feed them at that age where they believe everything, like this is an age where they believe that, like, you know, a fairy comes and takes their tooth away and gives them money, and an old fat guy rides a sleigh around the world and delivers presents, and a bunny comes and gives you chocolate eggs. That's fine. There's a time in your life where you're allowed, but if you're like 11 and 12 or whatever, and you're still like believing those sort of things, and like you start to get beaten up at school, right? It should be the same with, like, yeah, tell them whatever you need to tell them about heaven until they're 12, right? Like, your granddad died. It's really sad. Tell them. But there should be a time where we're all like, oh, by the way, we all know this isn't real, right? Like, the fact that in America you can't get elected president of your country, like, sometime in the future when we're much more evolved and we've moved beyond this and we fix whatever it is, they're going to look back and go, you know, he was a really smart guy. He had, like, this brilliant education. Oh, he believed in a magic guy in the sky. But, you know, but we all just ignored that and went on with our daily life. Oh, no, he was the most powerful man in the world. Believed in ghosts, said it out loud. But we let him have his finger on the nuclear weapons. Everything was fine. It was a crazy time. High five.
I guess we close there. That's what you fucking do. We're going to take a break. Our guest is Will Anderson. We're going to take a break. You know what, Will? I want you to decide which is better. I think that was good. Can you give me the last 5 seconds of what you just said, and then maybe, and then we'll, and then we'll come back after the break, and you'll tell us which you like better. Okay, like, you know, we go to break. So give us the last 5 seconds. Last 5 seconds of what you. Oh yeah, what were you saying about Magic Man in the Sky? We're gonna. Can you give us? And then we're gonna throw to different music, and then you tell us which you like better. And the second one we need you to come in on. You ready?
You ready over there with your trumpet?
It was Andy said it out loud.
And give him reverb this time. That's what I'm trying to win, so we pick my one.
All right, cool.
Okay, go ahead. And I'll tell you when, young Jake Adams. Do you have a medium bowl of soup? Do you?
Yeah, but medium soup.
Who said that? Oh. Okay, this, like the last right. five, just cheat it.
He believed in a magic man in the sky, and he said it out loud.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest is Will Anderson. And we'll be back with the Todd Glass Show, The Lighter Side. This episode is brought to you by, stand by, drum roll, please, Aristotle, drum roll, thank you. All right, fade the drum roll out. If they didn't do that in post, I think it's even funnier, but I'm hoping they'll hear this and know to put some drum roll there. Harry's offers a here's what I'm going to tell you about these sponsors. Number one, I do mean this. I if it was something I hated or I thought, ugh, I've asked once or twice to not want to do an ad. So, but that doesn't matter. That's secondary. What really matters is that I did get a razor from them, but we're going to talk about that in a second. But I promise that not only will I feel passionate about a product, but I'll make the commercial funny, taking my time. That's the problem. A lot of the other guys, they think, oh, I'll rip through the ad quickly because I know. Why not? Why? Why not give the ad the respect it deserves? These are the people paying the bills. So what's so wrong if you really believe in a product to go out on a limb and say something nice? Listen, Harry's offers high-quality shaving shipped right to your door. They're high-quality blades, and I'm not looking at copy. Seriously. Their high-quality blades have been engineered in their own factory in Germany. Wow. Now listen, you might think, oh, who cares, it's in Germany. I do, because it sounds like it's probably, you know, something's going on right. It's done there because the sharpness and the strength, and they're half the price of their competitors. That's the part that doesn't make sense. You think you're going to hear, oh, and it's twice the price, but it's worth it. Half the price for more. I don't get it. Oh, maybe it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure this out. Listen, they care so much about the quality of the blades that they're just purchased a 93-year-old German factory that they make them in. I get what they mean. It's like, if you have a product you really believe in, don't you want the... By the way, I'm being totally serious. Why wouldn't your factory have style too? Like the whole company, they want you to know from the minute you look at the aesthetics of their building, this is a cool product. Seriously. I actually do like that. I like that idea. Why would they? First, I thought, well, why would they include that in an ad that they brought a 93-year-old German factory? Because the reason I just told you. Listen, Harry's even offers a custom engraving option, and they'll engrave your initials in the razor. So they sent me my custom razor, and it's got my initials in it. And you know what? I love it. It's like, you know, you're looking, oh, I bet this is what the Kennedys would shave with. Real nice. You keep it out. By the way, I'm being totally serious. To George Carlin, they did send it to me. And I do love it. Listen, go to, and it says just go to blank, and use the go to Harry's, and use the promo code Todd and get $5 off your first purchase for all listeners of my show. Again, that's Harry's. Use the promo code Todd for $5 off for your first order. Harry's, I proudly say that you're supposed to say you're a proud sponsor. So anyway, you might want to send me back a voicemail. Harry's, I really love it. Right to your door they deliver it. Are you kidding me? This is ridiculous. It's almost too good to be true. I hope no one's sending me fake copy. Would be very upsetting. Let's give Will a proper intro here because, you know, Joe, lyricist Joe, really, that was the pre-show. How about that? That's the pre-show. Other shows go, that's it, we're done.
Right.
Please, I consider that, if it was a shrimp cocktail, it'd be one.
Right.
One shrimp cocktail, that's all. And now this is the show. Do you understand what I'm saying, Troy?
It was an appetizer.
Hey, Todd. Todd, it's Troy. Can I bring shit in my backpack to dirty up your studio?
I'd rather you not.
Hey, listen, I got 15 pens I'm going to bring. I'll lay them out. I'll make you uncomfortable. Come on, I'm the reason Will's on the show. He wouldn't have done it if you didn't have.
Well, Troy, I did hang out with him on the roof.
Yeah, but listen, I got paper clips I could bring. I could spread them around, dirty up your place. I could.
Well, Troy, I'd rather you just come.
I got a dog that's got infected ears. He's 23 years old. I love him. We just spent $40,000 for new knuckles.
By the way, that's why I love Troy. Troy, do you know like him and Liz? They're the real deal.
I do.
If you meet him, his wife, they're the real deal.
His wife.
They're great.
Yeah, they are the real deal.
I don't even want to. His car's a pigsty, but what are you going to do? You got to pick and choose. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. We'll put him through the house. Take your headphones off. There's bubbles on his tuba.
That's what she said.
Oh my god, that was so much fun.
Oh my god. Oh my god. honestly, don't. I don't know when.
Did you get any of that?
I don't. You.
I'm not going to record unless you... Is it okay if I record when you don't want me to record?
Do we have to do that again?
Yeah, well, you got to do it one more time.
Well, I would love to do it one more time and leave it in. That was Lynn. Oh, that wasn't... Oh, also, lyricist Joe has something later in the show. I want you to have something to look forward to. We're going to play this one more time.
Really?
We're
I'm not
shoot
sure. To be honest, I'm not sure. I feel like we've just had the final battle scene in the last Lord of the Rings film, and I'm like, I'm done. And they're like, oh no, hang on, the movie's still going. Frodo's going to get on a boat at some stage.
Oh my god, I've never been so happy. Fuck Jen Kirkman and Paul F. Tompkins, those piles of shit. You were right, Jake.
No respect.
No respect for the songs that lyricist Joe and Lynn Shore do.
Oh my
this
god.
Man comes in here. He's ready to burst.
I was bursting.
Fucking Paul F. Tompkins. Well, Paul F. Tompkins and Jen Kirkman. Maybe Ron Funches. Ron Funches. I hate doing it. Even as a bit, I hate doing it. Because Ron's so filled with love if he heard
right.
it. Paul.
Ron Funches. Ron Funches.
Give him a little
he masturbates to that, so we play it for him. Listen, so here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to play it again because then I want everyone to go over there. Let's all do this. Like, I'll tell you what we're going to do to make it look like we've done, and we're going to shoot it. To make it look like we put time into it, we just follow one person. That's the trick. So whatever You want to say Jake? Whatever you do, you're going to do this. We're going to do mimic what you do. Make it simple, okay. Please, because I don't have a lot of rhythm.
Am I doing this too?
Well, I think you should just stay here and enjoy it.
Right.
Why don't you?
Sure.
You want to get a little fresh air?
Sure.
I want you to get a little more fresh air so you can really soak this in. And by the way, then we come back.
Yeah.
And I got things to do, things to talk about. Like, this is the start of the show. Are you okay with time?
Yeah. I mean, as a concept?
We're not.
I'm okay with time. I'm okay with gravity. I'm okay with evolution. Tick, tick, tick. Yep. I'm cool.
All right. Because if I feel comfortable with that, I don't mean you're going to be here till midnight.
Well, here's what I'm going to say.
What are you going to say?
Australia are playing the Netherlands at the World Cup at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Until then, I'm yours.
Oh, there you go. Can I tell you, this is the truth, and I'm not just saying this. We were voted number one by the Podcasters Association of America.
The Todd Glass Show. Voted number one by the Podcasters Association of America.
And you can't make that shit up. Then we do it because we... No, what do you think? Oh, hello, you think I just called, please?
Hey, can you make me a jingle illegally?
No, they tell you, well, do you have the certificate? You send it over. We make you a jingle. I've had it. Believe me, I called up there before I had that, before I had the certificate. I asked the guy to make me a jingle.
Now, we need to see a certificate.
So what we're going to do is we're going to play you again. We're all going to get up there.
Right.
And by the way... I'm to George Carlin, I mean this. KC is here.
Yeah.
KC, I haven't usually, you know, we acknowledge who's in the room. So KC, you're a stand-up comedian, right? You can yell real loud.
Yeah.
And what is your last name? Don't move the mic, because that'll make me crazy. And I would be afraid to tell people that, but you seem so nice that I can get away with it.
No, I like that you told me.
Ron Funches
and
was
now
pick,
I know.
Ron Funches was picking wax off the candle all week. I didn't want to hurt his feelings.
No, you know what?
All right, so what is your last name?
Skinner.
Casey Skinner.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We'll talk. It's probably not important to talk about off the air. I think you owe me $100. Anyway, okay, so let's play. We go up there. We shoot a good video. You know, what's your Hold on. Your podcast, I wrote it down here. How's Roma doing? Is the dog good?
Ramona?
Ramona, of course. Yeah. I say her name wrong. How's your wife? Say it completely different. Say it completely different, whatever I tell you. Your wife's name, it doesn't even rhyme. How's Julie, huh?
Yeah.
No, you say, actually, her name is,
actually,
and it sounds... How's Julie?
Her name's Jennifer.
Ah, she's great. Sure. I loved her. He doesn't even acknowledge. That person's brilliant. Do it again. Hey, how's Diana?
Yeah, it's Debbie.
Ah, make it even further away.
Okay.
Further. Right. How's Diana?
It's Brad.
Brad! Brad! You know what? Do what you want. You're not hurting anybody. The fuck? As long as you like my meatballs, I welcome you into my restaurant. That's the owner of that restaurant. He doesn't give a shit. I don't give a fuck. Hey, listen, you know, whatever you put in your salad, it ain't hurting nobody. I love those people that speak in metal. What are you talking about? Hey, you know, you eat a radish or you can throw it out. It's still you're going to pay for it. Huh? Now, listen. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get up there in front of that thing. We're going to get the disco light going. Troy, you are allowed to pull out your camera.
Thank you, Todd.
I know. I pointed out because I'm not kidding. He starts to bring in so many things with him.
I think you exaggerate that.
I don't think so. I think if I asked 20 of your friends who was right, they'd agree with me.
I'm going to say 4 would agree.
Troy, you brought gels to my house a week ago. We weren't even shooting anything. You're like me.
I brought black wrap for lighting.
By the way, God, you know what? I can't even comedically tease him. I fucking love him.
Right.
He gave me a piece of, you know when you see like a set and they take a light and they have this, it's like black tinfoil, but a little thicker? Yeah, people don't know what black wrap is.
They think this industry.
They think it's you'd gone down to Roscoe's. Anyway. I don't even. So, listen. I don't know what. I'm not responsive. It didn't even mean anything, but I was afraid people would think it did and take that out, too, because they're wondering what I'm talking about. Or leave it all in. What am I hiding from? I didn't say anything wrong. Isn't it amazing you know you didn't say anything wrong, but you're worried it might? I just said it because it was so fucking stupid. Like, black rap. What's that have to do with? Because a lot of black people go to Roscoe's. Oh, Jesus. Now I'm only digging the hole deeper. A lot of black people do go there, and a lot of white people go there. More black people. I don't know why. Maybe they have better taste. Because can I tell you the truth? If I'm going to stereotype, positive stereotyping isn't fair either. It's not. And that's what I hate, because sometimes I want to do it. You know why more black people go to Roscoe's? Because they're fucking right. It's fucking unbelievable. It should, we should be ashamed that white people aren't in there as much. It's fucking great. The chicken, the syrup, but it has nothing to do with black or white. It has to do with a group of people that understand the taste is so fucking good at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, they're the people I like. I'm embarrassed of my race.
Excuse me, guys. I just had to duck to the bathroom. What did I miss?
Oh, I was saying that I was at Roscoe's. The guy is not afraid to repeat it all over again. Listen, I got to leave all that in. I can grow, too. Plus, they give me a discount if I mention their place.
Imagine if that was your live read. If that was your integration. You had some deal with Roscoe's, and that's the way you were doing the plug.
Promo.
Oh, fuck Squarespace. This is how you do an integration.
If you do go to Roscoe's, please enter the promo code, BLACKRAP.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That would, you know what sucks? People, if they found that out, would go, that's bullshit. We believed him. Well, it is delicious. Roscoe's. You're going to love it. Hi, this is... What's this? Oh, no, don't play this yet. Play this. Okay. Go!
Thank you.
Isn't there one with it loops around and it plays again?
There is. I just thought it'd be a good time to play that.
No, but I like it when it ends, but it keeps going. So throw this one out, but use the one where it goes, Willie Anderson is boom, and then it kicks right back into to the lyrics again. But it's all good. Oh, my God. Is everything okay?
Everything's great.
By the way, to let you know, I'm a professional. This all started.
You are a professional, by the way.
This all started because I asked how. What's your dog's name?
Ramona.
Ramona. And, yeah. And it's, but I said it wrong, didn't I?
Yeah.
What did I say, Ramona?
I don't know. You just left out a syllable or something.
What type of dog is it?
It's a French bulldog.
Oh, man. They're all dogs you want to bite, but I'm not just kidding.
Oh, my God.
Extra with them.
I mean, ridiculous.
Bite that fucking wrinkled face. I swear to God, I can't. I just suck on it.
Just ridiculous.
How old is she or he?
She.
They have like little people faces. They look at you. Yeah. Hey, let me tell you something. You know how all dogs will sometimes cock their head when they...
Uh-huh.
If that dog does it, it's worse because it's cuter.
Oh, it's the
Am I right?
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you on this. She's like the best. I talked to her on Skype. She doesn't understand. Because she's in Australia. And
has her?
Oh, my ex-girlfriend. We lived together for like...
Why don't you two get along? I've learned this tricks of interviewing. What's going on? We'll talk. We'll be right back. Why did Will Anderson leave his girlfriend in a fit of rage? We'll take a break. You're listening to the Todd Glass Show, America. When we come back, why did he not get custody of his dog? We'll take a break. We'll be right back. You know it's true. You know it's Australian because you hear Australian music. And we'll be back right after this with Will Anderson, ladies and gentlemen. Does this mean anything to you?
Yeah, this is Billy Bragg.
I want to hear something cool, what Echo does, and then we're going to do what we said.
Okay.
Close your eyes. Now, may pretend we're watching the show live. More Echo. More. We're in the front row. Now it fills the room. All right, shut that off. What was the fucking making Will do over there? Poor guy was trying. He's closing his eyes going, what am I, in a institution? In a loony bin?
No, I enjoy it.
Okay, so we're going to redo that intro, and you're going to shoot it. I get a little lost there, I got to be honest. I was having so much fun, whatever we were laughing at. Oh, about the... That started with the dog's name. How is Ramona anyway?
She's good.
I want to prove that
I love her. I threw her a birthday party.
Oh, yeah, we talked about stuff. We're okay.
So, yeah, I threw her a birthday party. I know that's such a first world indulgence thing to do.
You said she was how old?
She's 18 months. So, I threw her first... Her birthday, if anyone wants to get her a present, is Halloween.
Give an address. I bet my listeners are very... Seriously, my listeners are very kind.
I'm sure my ex-girlfriend would love that.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
If just random shit started arriving for the dog...
Maybe you could start a PayPal. What's your name? What's your girlfriend's name? I mean, your dog's name.
Amy. Ramona. Ramona.
Oh, Ramona. Amy. And Amy. Ramona. Yep. Ramona. Maybe if you listen to the show later, I don't want her to be bored.
Sorry.
Ramona.
Okay.
Hey, everyone talk to Ramona. Ramona! Right. Ramona. Come on, Ramona.
Come on, Ramona.
Hey, Ramona. You're so cute.
You want a treat?
Yeah. Do you want a piece of... Do you want a chocolate bar?
Go for a walk?
What?
No, you don't give dogs chocolate.
Don't give them chocolate.
What?
She, you can hear on my podcast. She often is heard in the background or snoring on my lap as she was the other day.
We were trying to, you know, do a little research today.
So oh.
We heard the first episode where she was barking.
All right.
But you know what? That's you got to leave that in, right? Because that's what you should let her in the room. Let her in the room.
Right. I do this thing. This is the most recent episode. That's the one that you would have heard. Is like I have this little just machine that I plug two microphones into, but I also use that machine to like record my gigs, so you have to push one button to change it over from the microphones in to the microphones out, right. Or otherwise it records. So my friend and I like did this whole episode where it's just recording on this little speaker, but we're holding microphones in front of our face that are not recording. But not even that, they're blocking our voices right. From getting towards the thing that is actually recording. And by the way, my dog, who's outside a door that is closed, apparently this recording device not only can't hear us that are right near it, but can hear through doors if dogs are barking. So the dog's like louder than us for about the first 5 minutes. But you know, we released it anyway because it's a podcast.
What's your dog's name? I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I wanted to scare you. I wanted to see if I could scare you. I wanted to see what I would have to do for people here to call the ambulance for me. No, he's obviously having a seizure. He's asked my friend's dog name. Will
it's like, I feel like I'm in that Tom Cruise movie. Don't you think in that Tom Cruise movie, that new one, Edge of Tomorrow, you know, the one where he's living the same day
I don't
over
know
and over?
Movies.
Have you not seen the advertisements?
No.
It's like a bit... Okay.
Oh, the new one coming out?
It's just come out. And he's like, he's some futuristic thing. So it's set in a near future of our world. And he gets killed over and over. So he becomes a super soldier by training more and more each time. It's like Groundhog Day, but in the future.
Oh.
So that's my problem with it is like, wouldn't you say when you're explaining it to him in the movie, it's like Groundhog Day. Because, like, he was alive when Groundhog Day was out. Like, he could have seen Groundhog Day. I think that would have been a better way in the movie rather than pretending Groundhog Day had never happened. Do you imagine in this Tom Cruise futuristic movie that it's like, oh, yeah, you're coming back in time, like Groundhog Day. It's like, oh, yeah, I love Groundhog Day.
Movie.
That makes complete sense.
No, listen, it's
right,
like
just
Groundhog,
watch this. Groundhog Day.
Thank you. It's like Groundhog Day. So now they're all going to make pretend that nobody saw Groundhog
right.
Day. What?
No
oh, is it
scene.
Like that? I didn't even... Right. I swear to God, I didn't even think about
it. I
that.
Didn't think about it.
I never... Oh, come on. You know me. I would never do that. I swear. Maybe I... No.
I'm happy to believe we're in the near future and we're fighting robots, but I can't believe we're in the near future and everyone has forgotten one of the greatest comedy movies of all time.
What?
Like
oh, Groundhog
Day.
Oh. I really didn't. I didn't forget. I just forgot in the moment. All right, listen. Don't think you're going to get out of it. I want that on tape, or I want to shoot that. So we're going to go back up there. Jaker, are you comfortable taking the lead? Because I think you know you probably have more rhythm than me. So whatever you do with your arms, you go like that. We're going to keep it easy. You know what I mean? Anyway, so let's take a deep breath, and then we're going to do this. And then there's other stuff to talk about. I'm going to find out what time it is. We have – here's what I did, if you like treats. I put some Starbucks iced coffee in the freezer part of the refrigerator so it gets some ice chips in it. Then we pour it in the glasses and we put whipped cream on it.
All right.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Or, you know, I think it's going to be really good. Why won't you have something to look forward to? Anyway. I know I need it. The green – oh, I was going to play that, too. We'll do that later, too. I listened to the commercial on your show where they made a commercial for living in a neighborhood with...
nuclear?
With nuclear. You probably don't even remember it.
I don't remember.
I know. It's okay. I get it. But I liked it. And it's something they did where they had to make a commercial. Well, we'll play it later. I'm
okay.
Sorry. I don't need to set it up. All right. So let's take a deep breath. All right. So everybody's good. We got some fresh air. Look, I come back all calm. So let's do the intro again. Now, I know sometimes I think, should we edit this out? But you know what? You just know that you can 15 second ahead, 15 second, 15 second. But in here, we're having a good time. You know, we're going to redo it. We're going to try to put a little more production into it.
I thought of some moves while
Jake
over the break.
Jake has seen us some moves. By the way, if you want to send dog treats to Ramona, send them to Brillstein Entertainment and Kara Todd Glass, and I'll forward to him because... I think that would be the best thing to do. I don't know why. I would love, you know what, I can't, no dog treats, I need money, and I'm starting my own account just for, because I decided I love money and I want people to send it to me. Do you think it's a good idea? Would you, would you say people should send me money?
Yeah.
Thank
why not?
You. I see, folks, why would I tell you to do that if it was, I like money.
What are you going to use it for?
I'm starting a Kickstarter. I want to get money.
Yeah, but do you have any,
I don't know, right now.
Specific things you're going to do with it?
I just love having it.
Right. No, I'm fine. Would you, like, but would you, what would you use it for?
Well, I'm gonna
or
give
do you just want to keep it?
At first, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't want any PayPal for the show anymore. We're closing that down. Leave people the fuck alone.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I am going to close that down. But I just started a Kickstarter. Well, we're starting a Kickstarter for people because I want to have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And as part of the payment for people, let's say they donate $1, yeah. what do I give them?
What do you give them?
I tell them how much money I have. And I know people could go, oh, like that's a dick. It's in a weird way. Wouldn't you let me, here's the way I put it.
Well, yeah.
If I found out that anybody in this room, by the way, to George Carlin, I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Which is weird. If I found out Jake, if I was away for 2 weeks, I go, did you see what Jake did? He started a Kickstarter, and he was sort of being silly. He said he just wants money. He made $10,000.
Right.
I'd be fucking happy for him. I would get it. And guess who would be one of those people that would call in and give him money? Me.
Yeah.
Because, and if every day I could find out he made 12, that's what you, it's just fun to watch this. So why can't people do it for me?
Right.
I would do it for you.
But also, by the way,
you're angry at people for not sending money. I hear it in your voice.
I am, but that's what the investing in things. That's what the speculation is. That's
you're really pissed off.
Is.
I've never seen
I
you
am
like
pissed
this.
Off.
So you're angry
because you know what? People invested in Twitter. They played heaps of money for Twitter. They're like, okay, and they're like, do you know how this will make money? No one's got any idea how it'll make money. But I don't know. We'll pay for it anyway.
Will
you? You're just giving. I mean,
you make sense.
You've already given them something. You've given them.
What
this.
Am I going to do? Something bad with it? Am I a horrible person?
The joke. Maybe you could become one if you had enough money.
No.
Money changes people. You
Will,
know.
Seriously,
I've seen it. We've both seen it.
Shut the fuck up.
You know what it's
Will.
Like. You've had some people.
God,
they
Will,
suddenly
the
get a little bit. Coin
Will,
and suddenly
Will,
they're not the person
the
they used to be.
Right
they're
now.
Not returning
oh
your calls
my God.
Anymore.
Okay, now I got to do damage control.
The street
no, you're
Largo,
turning it negative.
And you're like,
you're
hey, it's
I'm
me.
Trying to make
and you
money,
actually
you
see
dumb
them.
Fuck.
Like they blocked
you. Dumb
you. They're like,
fucker,
oh, I'm
back
not even
to Australia.
Too much
I swear to God.
Like,
you were helping me. Oh, you don't listen. Oh, atheist.
I'm just saying. It's just a question.
Let's do this. Here we go. You ready? Go ahead. That, to George Carlin, is the most I've ever exuded myself during a song for this show. off stage in my professional life, well, I was a professional dancer, sure. Uh-huh. But,
you never forget.
One time I was hanging out, I don't want to name drop, with Jim Gaffigan, and I was saying, in my house, I'll silly dance. I wasn't really, I was worried about that. What if I said, I don't want to name drop. I was with Screech from Saved by the Bell. Well,
oh
I was
God,
with his
really?
Publicist.
Yeah, okay.
A friend of his publicist. So I was hanging out, talking about dancing. Like, that was just fun to do. So one time I was hanging out with Jim Gaffigan, and I go, I don't want to really dance. I was talking to him and Jeannie, like, I don't want to go to a wedding. I don't really like dancing. I just don't want to dance. But I go, I guess I do, because at my house, or just at the podcast, when we're just silly dancing, yeah, I love it. But then no one heard that in the contents. That so at the table next to me, all they hear is this. Like, so a second later, I go, I guess I want to dance. I want to dance, I guess. They think I'm like some older guy deciding I want to dance professionally.
Right. Yeah.
They're like, oh, he's having a breakthrough or something?
Right.
I want to dance.
Yeah.
That's all they hear. I want to dance, mommy.
Yeah, you're having footless moment.
Yeah, like, I want to dance. Like, who's this guy who just decided he wanted to dance? And I get paranoid, but of course, it's all in my own head. I wanted to go, I don't really want to dance. I just...
Well,
silly dance.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something that I have not ever told anybody before out loud, but I feel comfortable, and because you've told me that, I'm going to tell you this thing.
Thank you.
One night during the Adelaide Fringe Festival. Adelaide has a massive a fringe comedy festival, and it's a really cool festival. And on the last night, there's a bit of a party, and I had been at that party, and I'd been taking part in that party. And then I was walking home at about like 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning down this like empty mall, and it's like there's no cars can go through. It's like a paved in mall, and it's got like benches all over the place, and like, you know, kind of like statues of weird pigs eating out of the bins. But anyway, it's like cool. Cultural, you know, it's been, and I started doing like that Fred Astaire like tap dance, like where I was like, I had like my iPod on and I was listening to music, and I'm like, I'm jumping up onto the like the benches and then doing what I imagine are these really cool like Singing in the Rain like twists off the like, and doing this whole thing down the entire mall, like,
by the way,
I assume there's like CCTV footage of, because it was a popular shopping mall. So if you could probably piece together me down that night, all the security guards from the front of the shops. But
how much fun was it?
Oh, it was so much
fun. Well, you know, once you said you had your music on, well, first of all, even without it, I could imagine just getting into the zone. But with music, forget about it. Yeah,
right, you're in
there with you.
Yeah.
And how many songs should you listen to that would be great, depending on whatever you want to do? It's
right.
I'm trying to think of whenever I did, you know, the first time. Not the first time, like it's a big deal, but that I did something like it. I remember I had an old Wagoneer with the paneling, and like we would always get into it and act like we were family.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have no idea what you're talking about, and it sounds to me like you've got some guy from like 200 years ago who like an old guy who was in charge of a wagon. And that's what I imagine you say. So I have this old wagon here, like you have this prospector or something. It's like this guy who's
at
like,
first I had no,
what are you talking about?
At first when you said that, I go, I didn't know what the fuck you were talking, like what part of my story doesn't he get? I really thought that.
Yeah.
I thought, what the fuck? And then I go, Wagoneer. And then I said it from a perspective of not knowing, a Wagoneer. You're right. Well, who's the Wagoneer?
Right.
Hey, the Wagoneer is here.
Yeah, right.
Hey, I was a Wagoneer for over 35 years. I remember coming in to see comedian Todd Glass, first Wagoneer.
Anyway, all right. That's how far I can take a bit. That's why I'm not good on those shows. Whose Line Is Anyway? I do it for 2 seconds. I go, I can't think of anything else. I can't keep faking it. Once I don't know what it is, once I know it's garbage I'm delivering, I have to stop. I can't just keep. I could come up with shit to do. Oh, you're a plumber. I'm a gardener. Well, good to see you. But if I got nothing funny to say, then the bit's over. I'm not going to just. I could have fake, boring dialogue. And that's why such a small. That's why when you go to see sketch, I learned this, the brilliant sketch.
Yep.
Just like there's a lot of bad stand up, but there's a lot of brilliant stand ups. I learned that with sketch. At first, I didn't realize it. I'm like, oh, yeah, probably most sketch is bad.
Right.
But then when you see good sketch, I just remember coming to me, you might think I sound like an idiot, where I went, oh, the dialogue is interesting. They don't just get to where I'm a plumber. It's a little parody of it sometimes when we see bad improv, but a lot of it's not far from it. They take a few suggestions. But then when I watch them do brilliant things, like with dialogue that would have been written and funny in a sitcom, I'm like, oh, that's good sketch.
Right.
And I thought, I'm going to go see it more. You know, because like, I would crave this. Like, people crave stand-up comedians. And I know that's weird because I am one. And that was 10 years ago. I've never seen it since.
No.
That's the point of that story, yeah. Is to say nothing changes.
Yeah, the point of that story is we say a lot of things. We imagine a lot of things for ourselves that we never do. I personally am going to learn lots of languages. Not going to. I can tell you right now.
You know how many...
I've been saying that for 10 years, and I imagine I'm not going to do it for the rest of my life. No. So I'll keep saying it, but it's not going to happen.
How many...
Don't come up to me 5 years from now and say something in a foreign language.
What do you know? What languages do you know?
I know English.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell you something? I'm going to bare my soul because I don't think anything bad ever comes of it.
Sure.
It's just I did not pay attention in school. Uh-huh. No, I'll give myself a little more credit than that. I really did not do well in school because it was hard for me to follow, genuinely and legitimately. Now, I had like bad, you know, ADD. I could not focus. I didn't even know what it was. They barely knew about it. Wait, what were you talking about? Now, come on. I have something. What?
Learning languages.
Yeah, learning different languages.
Yeah, so I tried, and I remember thinking, Todd, you're not going to be able to learn another language.
Right.
You barely, seriously, with no sarcasm. Uh-huh. People go, oh, I barely learn English. I barely knew English.
Yeah, sure.
It was so hard for me, everything. I go, so just let's not take another language. So I never did. But yeah. Oh, here's the part. So I don't know a lot. I'm so glad I remembered it because that story was true, although not directly what I wanted to say. This has to do with
Learning languages.
Oh, no.
No?
I'm sorry. Learning languages.
I'll tell you a quick little story of your story. Is that
hold
okay?
Hold on. What was it? Please. Oh. A question I was going to ask you.
Good.
And I thought, I should know this.
Right.
But I was nervous. Uh-huh. But Australia, in Australia, what language do they speak?
Oh, right. Okay. That is a good question.
Right. Because, it's a question of, like, I thought, well, do you know two languages? Because you know... What do we speak here?
English.
English. I thought, I know we speak English.
American.
I'm high.
Some people say, well, no, I had someone here say, they said, well, I love your accent. And I said, I love your accent. And they said, oh, well, I don't have an accent. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, no, you understand that you also have an accent. You have an American accent. Yours isn't neutral and everyone else has an accent. Like, I know that's how America sees the world. Like, everyone else is foreign. Like, you are also foreign to other people. Like, that, I know, I just need to give you that...
When he says things that make sense, we salute it, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Todd Glass Show, ladies and gentlemen. 700 million trillion zillion downloads across America. The widest. You really overdo your...
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
Okay. Can you do me a favor, Troy? I'm a little thirsty. Can you get me a glass of whiskey? I'm just kidding, a bottle of water. I wish I was cool like that. Hey, I'm thirsty. Get me a glass of whiskey.
Yeah.
A glass of whiskey. So is this an old thing? Hey, back the way drunks used to be in the old movies. All right, I've lost it for I'm all day Sunday, and I got all day Monday to Sunday up.
Really? Is that the way drunk people talk?
Officer, I've only had tea martinis, and I've got all day sober to Monday up. All right, carry on. All right, so listen. So we were talking about the you said about, oh, yeah, I love that, about people think. No, our language. Well, that's why I think our language is neutral. Is that what you're sort of saying?
Yeah.
That, to me, that's why colored is worse, more egregious than other words used. Colored,
right.
Insinuating what? We're the right color?
Right.
Like, clear is the right color, and you're colored. What color? What the fuck are you talking about?
I mean,
colored. Am I right? Does that make any
absolutely.
Sense at all?
You might as well say others.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
So,
like, it's like the main, and then...
They're colored.
Others, everybody else.
They're colored. We're all colored.
You're all in a catch-all.
Yeah, invisible is is what you think you are, and you're not. You're white. You're colored,
yeah.
You dumb fuck.
Like, if you have to tick a box to say you are it, like, then someone's not treating you as an equal. Do you know what I mean? Like, as a general rule, if you're a question on a box, the other person doesn't think you're exactly equal with them. That's like, you know, I mean...
Does that echo what Jeff Tate was saying last week about... If we all just went into it just thinking, like, everybody wants what you think you want, and they deserve it, so just give it to them. Stop thinking anybody deserves more. You know what you want? That's what everybody wants.
Right.
Is that hard? What? That's so...
And also, remember that we're all interconnected. Like, you know, that our success relies on each other. You don't know if the dickhead in front of you, like, who's cutting you off in traffic or making your day bad because they don't walk at the same pace as you do. Maybe their hips are sore or they have tinier legs or they're not in the rush that you're in that day and they don't realize that you're late or whatever. They might be the person who's listening to your podcast or downloading your album or buying your cake in your shop or, you know, maybe, like, paying money to the school where the guy buys. We're all interconnected. We're all in this shit together. So it doesn't matter. Like, you know, so A, yes, we all have our own motivations. But B, let's also remember that we're all not playing the same game. We all have different motivations. What's important to me is not important to you. The most important moments in my life are things that if they happened to everybody else, they would not understand that they were important moments either in my life and they wouldn't be important moments in their life. And the sooner that we realize that we all are doing this for different reasons, but we all have to do it vaguely in the same space, so it'd be cool if we just helped out each other as much as possible, then... Anyway, whatever.
I'm stopping. No, not whatever. Like, you know what? I sort of like, I wrote a book. I'll mention it real quick. And I like
when, I bought your book, by the way.
Thank you very much. You know I could have given you.
No.
No, listen. We argue for half an hour.
Yeah.
The Todd Glass Situation. Voted number one by the Book Club Association of America.
I don't keep playing that. I have a guest here. It's rude.
The Todd Glass Situation. Voted number one by the Book Club Association of America.
Stop it already.
I have two copies.
Will, would you? Okay. No, what you said. Oh, okay. That's why. I like when you talk. Whenever people start talking about this stuff, it gets all my juices flowing, as they say in the business. But I feel like we're so, like, in the business.
In the juice business.
Oh, not in the entertainment business. I don't know.
You've got a cold pressed juice business, right? Up the road here. $9 a bottle. You're doing well. I mean, to be honest, write a book or start a juice business in West Hollywood? Come on.
Even if I'm wrong.
No one's reading here, mate. They're drinking juice. That's your plan.
The juice business.
Yeah.
You know, you see me. I do stand-up anymore. Right. Juice. Everybody wants juice. Nobody's lining up for stand-up comedy, but they're lining up for my juice.
For juice. And your name's already Glass. I mean, it's...
Hey, you had a show Glass House, didn't you?
Right. It's true.
I know. No, you took the name.
Hang on.
I don't want to talk about it on the air.
What do you mean?
He sued me for the... No, I don't know. I don't even want to do that bit. It's so stupid. I feel like I lobbed a pile of shit at you. It's so stupid. At least I caught myself. Oh, Glass, you took... There's nothing there. Okay, listen. Here's what I think in the positive light.
Right.
I think we are socially moving more forward than we are with our financial problems. I get it how some people that want to be decent go, but man, socially, I get it. We're making a lot of progress, but we're fucking in the hole financially. What's so wrong of me to think this? By the way, I'm repeating what I said already on the show, but for you. We do tell stories how this society has changed. We've had better periods than others. There's no reason why 50 years from now there can't be a story that 2015, maybe 16, 17, 18. And what would be so crazy to think this could be our story? Picture a little kid, you know, the history writes itself, and here's how they're talking 50 years from now about 2016, 17, 18, 19. Well, economically, they were in a horrible situation. But you know what I mean? I'm making it up, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
But socially, they started to treat people a lot better. And what they didn't expect is it answered the economical problems. Because they didn't realize it when going into this, but when everyone started to be treated fair, it fucked things up. But then it got better. And then when people are treated equal and decent and kind, they end up working better. They end up operating better. So inevitably, it did answer our long, long fucking term economical problems. Because you have to treat people decent for a while for it to start paying off. And it did. And then you picture a little kid hearing that and going, that makes sense. Because it does, as Judge Judy would say. Because it does make sense.
Right.
Right?
Okay, well, firstly...
You got a fucking problem, Will? I'll come over there, I'll punch your face.
The rising tide lifts all boats, firstly. We all understand that. But the second thing is that we've changed a lot in 100 years. We really have. We've gone from a time where, you know, black and white people couldn't get married, that Aboriginal people, the Indigenous people of Australia couldn't vote, like, within my lifetime. Like, you know, heaps of shit has already, like, changed in our lifetime. So there's a lot of hope that, you know, in the future we could be looked at as really positive people, as people who... But you don't want to be the people they make the documentaries about, you know? You don't want to be the last people. That's what I don't understand about like countries like my country that still do, like it, like. Even if you're like, don't believe in gay marriage, even if you like, you honestly don't believe that gay people should be getting married, as a politician, who are the most cynical of all people, who are meant to predict where things are going, you've got to understand that 20 countries in the world already have it, and it's only going to get more and more. It isn't going backwards, right?
Oh, oh.
So wouldn't you just do it for fucking, do you want to be the person they make the fucking documentaries about? That's what, because you know what? It's okay to be up the front of a change. And by the way, you've already missed being up the front if you haven't got on board because 20 countries in the world. You know what? Canada's had gay marriage for 10 years. This is always my thing that I find hilarious when people are like, well, if gay people get married, people will marry their dog. I'm like, they've had gay marriage in Canada for a decade. Not one dog wedding. Not one. But that's proved wrong. Not one. You've got to marry a dog within 10 years. They do not live forever. Like, seriously, right?
I got to interject on something that I thought you said was like, just fucking right up my alley. And I'm sorry for... when you said, like, okay, let's say you're not doing it for the goodness of your heart, which is why you should want it. Because, right. Oh, you get it. But even if you're just looking like a pile of shit, that's my gun to the head analogy that I think someone that makes those rules knows it. They go, come on, just look at the way the world is. Now, they might go, well, I'm standing up for what's right. They do. I believe. And guess what somebody said to me, and I hope I can bring full closure to this. They go, Todd, you think all these people put as much thought as you do, and you think they're over there going, no, I'm against it. I have looked at it, and I looked at what other countries are doing, and no, I don't think it's going to go that way. I think they don't think about it like that. Because if they did, they'd think what you thought.
Right.
If they thought, where's it going? What are we going to do? By the way, as much as we think we're in a recording age right now, really, what happened in the 50s was really when we get to, first time in this society, we get to really, it's on fucking recorded. You know what I mean? Like, when was it first where TV shows, you know what I mean? In our modern day, it was pretty recent. So I understand how the people in the 50s maybe could have made mistakes because they didn't have the stuff, as much stuff from the 20s to look at. You know what I mean? I think the gist of what I'm saying is right. Some people in my ears would be off. The people in the 40s didn't have the people to... But the people that are making the mistakes now, we see what it looked like in the 50s to be even moderately hateful. Even the people that thought were to be open-minded. It's on tape. We watch it. So this is the generation that should be mortified because we watched it. So if anybody goes, well, why aren't the people from the 20s embarrassed about the people from the 1800s? Because they didn't get recordings of it.
And but that's why it is going faster and faster forward. Because even what you said earlier in this podcast, you talked about the idea of that in the old days. And I've done it myself. Like I understand this. This within my last, say, 5 years or 10 years, I've developed this far from the being the sort of person who would make a joke about a guy going to prison and being raped by another guy and gone through an evolution within the last 5 years of my lifetime of me going, you know what? Or like maybe like 5 years ago or whatever, I would have made a joke that relied on the punchline being that someone was like overweight. And then you learn more about how people feel about that topic. And you're like, you know what? I'm not really doing fat jokes anymore because it doesn't feel like something that I feel comfortable with what I know now, what I've learned from listening to people. And like the idea that I would talk about transgender issues so differently today than you would have heard me talk about those issues, say, 5 years ago. Because in the last 5 years, I've learned a lot more about, you know, those issues and how people feel about the language that you'd use. And like, you know, in the old days, the way that you might use the word tranny without even being hateful, you're not a hateful person. I would be describing someone and just saying something that I didn't know was something that would be hateful to them or offensive to them because I didn't know.
And by the way, right? I'm going to bring clarity to something. Sometimes I feel I can do it really good, really quick, and very often I flip it to make a point. But you brought up the tranny thing. Now I know in the transgender community, look, I know I'm in the intent of saying something good here. So if I mispronounce a word while I'm going there, I have no problem with correcting myself. But I think I'm doing pretty good. In the community, there are certain people that don't mind the word tranny. But guess what? it's still okay to stop doing it.
Right.
A lot of people, I got even a letter from someone that said to me, from a good part, they went, look, I'm not worried about offending one person. Yes, you can have one lunatic, but if a big majority of the transgender community don't like it, and let's say there's 20% that go, I don't care, you're not hurting anybody by not doing it. Because don't tell me the people that don't care are missing it once it's gone. And it's not like they're going to go, no, that's my, they don't care.
Well, I always think from your point of view, like, what am I giving up? Like, if I'm not, like, it doesn't, you know what I mean? Like,
it's nothing. So true. It's like,
that's the thing that I don't get. If it hurts you, and it's like my friends who will use, like, gay as a, like, you know, and I understand young people use that term. I'm not even judging people for using it. I'm just saying I won't use it because enough people have said to me that using that term to them is like, I'm like, well, I don't need to. Like, I literally have all these other words. It's like rape jokes. Like, I'm not saying that people shouldn't do rape jokes. I've heard people do rape jokes that were fun and satirical and all the things that a joke should be, and I think any topic should be able to talk about.
Right.
But you know what? There's so many things I can make jokes about. So why am I bothering? Like, if I'm not going to write the best rape joke of all time, then you know what? I'll just write some jokes about some other things that other people aren't talking about.
Yeah, and because
you know what I mean? Like, I don't need to joke about that.
I'm with you. And by the way, I love the way you said it too, because I've said this on the show before. I go, can rape be funny? And I guess I should. I know one example. I'm not going to repeat it because I've told the joke on the show before. But can it be funny? Yes, it can be done brilliantly.
Yeah.
You don't care about the audience members that if they didn't like it. If you go, no, that's sad because that's a brilliant joke. But that's a 10% of them, or 5%, or 1% of them. So when it comes to defending those type of jokes, it's like all I ask most comedians is like, just, is yours worth defending?
Right.
Because I'll tell you why. Because if it's a joke about the mall and it sucks, all right, nobody gets hurt. That's why you don't hear me going, think about your joke at the mall. You have a joke about the mall. Because if it's a shitty fucking dumb joke about the mall, it doesn't hurt anybody, or about something else. But when you have jokes about rape or hitting children, think before you make your joke. Why wouldn't you want to go, am I on the right side of it? Is my joke helping the issue? Am I going to look back in 20 years? But again, I think there's a lot of comedians that think, unless you're saying fuck this group and fuck that group, it's that in-between area. Like you said, I used to do heavy jokes. And I agree with you. I went, no, I don't need to do it. I could make myself out to be stupid. I smoke cigarettes. Everyone has a vice that you go, it's short-term gratification. You can get into the mind of a person going through that and have empathy. There's something in your life. And if you don't think there is, then there's a blockage. Something. Listen to the question. The next time you make fun of an obese person, listen, is there something in your life that is short-term gratification for long-time harm? No, can't think of anything? No, nothing? So have a little empathy. You know, so that's why I hope that, you know, I'll make nips and... I was going to say something and I forgot where I was going.
No, but I agree with you about what you're saying. Is that like? But we should be able to have this conversation. We should be able to move on. And this is why I find it outrageous sometimes with the way our political system is, you know, set up, where they're like, you said 20 years ago that blah, 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 and you said 30 years. I don't care what someone said 20 or 30 years ago. I want to know what they think now. Because if you have the same opinion you had 20 or 30 years ago, then I don't want to hear what you have to say at all. Like, fucking 30 years ago, I thought Wham were the best band in the world. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I still thought Wham were the best band in the world, then you should not trust my opinion on anything else, right? Some shit has gone on. Like, since that moment, you know? We should be able to update our information. We should be able to change our mind. It should be a beautiful thing to say to somebody, this is what I used to think, but then I found out this, and then I changed my mind. And that's why people get science wrong when they compare science to religion, because science doesn't think it's right. Science thinks it's our best available guess on all the information right. We have up to that point. And if here's what science believes and here's what I believe, like in the same way as like someone's like, do you believe in ghosts or do you believe in like, you know what? I don't believe in ghosts. But if I one day see a ghost, then maybe I'll believe in ghosts, because maybe I'll have some evidence then that I believe in ghosts. Like, I'm not, like, I don't have my head in the sand going, no, this is what I believe forever. I'm going to, like, base my whole life around the best available evidence that I have to this point.
That's why if diseases wouldn't be cured if people went out with religious tactics, because I would hope a good scientist, even though he fucking believes like a motherfucker, this is the thing you use and this drug, this, right. You know, and someone proves them wrong, I hope that's how they end up curing diseases, because someone goes, oh, that's good information. Let me change what I thought. But if you two people went into a religious tactics, they'd be like, no, my way's right, my way's right, my way's right, my way. It's like, fucking great. We're not curing any diseases here, and we're not answering any problems with religion. That's why that was proof of it. If you put right. that same mindset to curing diseases, two religious people going at it with that tactic, and supposed to go, as opposed to going, oh, I really thought that for the last year, but what you're saying makes sense, and why don't we come to a meet in the middle, which is probably, you know.
I mean, you look at our
job. Does that
make
sense, what I just said?
It does, though, but you look
at... Fuck the police. I try to keep the show hip.
You look at a lot of jobs, and it's rare in a job you think that they've nailed the technique and there is no further improvement. You know, so we should have this attitude in all our lives that we're trying to get better, you know, that we're trying to... Okay, this is what they thought last time, and now this is how we've improved on that, and now this is how we've improved on that.
First of all, you know, people say, oh, it's preaching to the choir. Guess what? I deserve it sometimes because it feels good here to come out of somebody else's mouth a little differently, maybe a little more clear. Maybe it helps you fight the fight. You know, when you say things that I already agree with, some people think, well, what? You know, I love hearing it sometimes because it's said a little differently. I always answer to the naysayer. I don't even know if they exist. Oh, great. You're just sitting across from each other agreeing with each other. You're right. Still learning new ways But
the other thing I would say, even on that point, is like the amount of times that I listen to things, I don't understand this new world we live in where people think that you only have to hear things that you agree with. Like, what world is that? I listen to things that I don't agree with all the time. I went and saw, and look, to George Carlin, like Bill Burr, one of the funniest men on the planet. He's 95% of the things that he says on stage and the opinions he has are the complete opposite of the things that I think about the world. Like, I watched his set. Like, I went to Largo last night and saw him and Nate Bargatze, who's like, oh my God. Like, he's about my favorite comedian on the scene at the moment. Just stunning. But, like, Bill topped and tailed it, was brilliant, was Bill. But 90% of the opinions that he has and the way he sees the world are the complete opposite of me at my heart of how I... The complete opposite. I find him hilarious. I love to listen to Bill's opinions. I love to hear him prick through the shit that I have about myself. Like, sometimes when he's making fun of those people, he's making fun of me, and I couldn't love it more because it challenges me on what I think. What is this new world that everybody thinks they have to live in, where you only hear the opinions that you already believe? It's weird.
I'm interesting slant on that, because I'm confused about that, because I always think every time that somebody says something, like I heard a few newscasters say it, you know, freedom of speech. Just, I love that she said it because it calmed me. It just means you don't go to jail, everybody. Relax.
Right.
None of these people are going to jail. But here's where I'm confused a little, whether I agree. Yeah, maybe 100% agree with you. When those people say things, I'm actually a big Bill Burr fan too, so it makes it easy most of the time I think I agree with him. Sometimes I don't. But where I don't, I have to admit I want him to change because – I love him so much, and if I have a thing where I think, no, you're not right there, because I from a place, someone who fucking loves him, and echoing back to what we said, this is all going to go down on history, and you're going to be watching you. And let me tell you something, kids will listen to comedy in the car in 30 years. Now, even though you're defending that you could still enjoy it, because I agree. By the way, I think it helps that mostly I agree with like Bill. Mostly, uh-huh. I haven't seen him in a while, but. I don't know. He's one of those guys I love so much that I haven't seen him in a while, but I think I do agree with most of what he said.
Right.
I think I really do. But there are some times when I don't. And by the way, I'm glad that I'm even talking about this, because sometimes you think it takes away from your amazing amount of respect for someone to admit that. No. It's like when I'm not agreeing.
To be honest, even as a comedian, it makes me admire him more. Because, like, to be honest, he's climbing a bigger hill for me.
But it makes me – I don't know if that makes me admire him. I know I fucking love him so much.
Right.
But when it's those areas where I think he's wrong, I think if I thought he was wrong 90% of the time, no, I couldn't enjoy it. Because like we just said, because most of the time I think, oh, he's got it right. He's got it right here. So I guess I feel like I want him on my side. So when I feel like he might be defending something, I go, no, I want you to see it this way. Like, I can't wait till I bump into him. So maybe I could even change his opinion.
But the broader point that I was trying to make about that was that I don't understand this new society that we seem to live in, where we just think, like, if you don't like something, just don't. Like, there's a lot of stuff that you can just ignore and let them go off and do their own thing and be their own thing.
Here's the problem I have with that. what do you say to the comedians that, like, let's say we're mentioning people we really respect, and in a teeny, at least me, in a teeny little area, I'm like, well, okay, now let's move off of that. Let's say there are a comedian out there that's just doing an egregious sexist bit, and I've seen them. I'd rather pick that than the gay thing because I have nothing to win.
But also, it's much more prevalent than the gay thing. Like, I mean, the amount of times that you will see, look, I you know, and there's definitely people doing, like, you know, homophobic gags still. But, like, if you can walk into any club on any night and see someone do something that's still misogynistic. Or sexist. So let me ask you this. It's a very easy example.
Besides heckling, okay, because I think a lot of intelligence audiences know that they can heckle. Forget about when they do. But a lot of times you hear just the collective silence of an audience that, by the way, there can be smart people gathered together in a room where the majority are smart. And I think that's when a sexist joke's told and not one person boos. They just don't laugh. That's a brilliant way to explain yourself. Right. So how dumb is that room when they collectively were brilliant enough to know that no matter how much they fucking hate what they hear on that stage, silence is their only civil and decent way to show it. So maybe that audience proved them smart. Therefore, their opinion of what you did wrong might be deserving. And that's what I'm talking about. So as much as I agree, like when it's like, I want to say exactly what you're saying. What about when you see not a comedian like the one that we're mentioning, but just where 95, 100% of their act is just wrong, and they're up there barking in the wrong direction. And if I see someone tweet something about that that says, fuck that, I saw that comedian last night, I like it. Because so do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that comedian should be told what to do, limited to what. But
agree.
I like sometimes that. Now, do I think some people tweet negative things about comedians that I love? You fucking bet. I'm like,
of course, that idiot.
But sometimes people aren't dumb. Sometimes they're brilliant and they tweet things in the right direction. Sometimes they don't.
Does that make any? No, it makes complete sense to me. I won't name this comedian, but I went and saw
Flip Schultz.
That's who it was. I can't believe you got it. All right. That was very lucky because I had a gun to your head, not $10 million. So that would have been a tragic end to your podcast. You've been so nice to me. There are some comedians who... I think the greatest thing you can have as a comedian, and this is what you learn from the world of podcasting, is that I don't care how big the audience is. You just want some people who let you be who. Like, you want enough people who let you be who you want to be, right? And I've seen comedians, and I've seen big comedians, and comedians who I respect as being good comedians, but play to audiences like 5,000 people in a room. And I've sat in that room and I've seen the dead eyes of the comedian because they don't like their audience. The style of comedy they do, like, attracts an audience that they wouldn't want to. Here's the thing: my audience is never going to be as big as everybody's audience. But here's what I've always loved about my career: I like my audience. If I talk to them after the show, if they get what I'm talking about, they let me be what I want to be.
Can I say something? First of all, you've never heard me talk about this.
No.
You know, it's. I echo what the words you just said so much that I wish I could hear some of these people, the people that say horrible things. And then they hate their audience because, yes, that's the audience you cultivate. We're not look. Let's be very clear. We're not talking about a guy that, like, maybe Zach Galifianakis, who has this act that, look, my opinion is you got to be sort of at least, let's for lack of a better word, hip in the comedy world to get the act and get it. And the masses of the movie might not know. He's not responsible for that. But when all you're known for is your radio or your podcast or your show on television, you know, when it's specific, then you have to be a little responsible for your audience.
Right.
And a lot of these guys that say that, you know, I wish they their punishment should be their own audience. Because it is funny, though,
I think.
Because what you just said, I agree with. It's like, God, there's nothing like, look, I'm not saying that if I was as big as maybe certain acts that I couldn't spend time with people. But until you can, I like meeting people that I like. And if that's the sign of me doing something right, that you kind people like you, then I got to take that as going in the right direction. Because, some of these, you see the audience they draw and you hear them talk about their audience. And it's like, you want to say, like, they're like, fuck, man, they're fuck. I've been on dumb radio shows, not the brilliant, not the smart ones, where they complain about their audience. And I don't have the heart to go, you know, if you put your stance down on a few of these issues, you'd shed some of your idiots out of your audience. You this wishy-washy stance that you have, that you'll clear out some people.
But you know what it is? We don't value what it is that we do enough. We still, like, we judge it by the idea that somehow, like, it's a problem if, you know... The thing that I always think of it like, you know what? If I'm going to write a show, if I'm going to come up with a joke, if I'm going to try to say something, like I've dedicated my life to this. I want it to be good. I'm not saying it's brilliant, but I'm saying I'm doing the best that I can possibly do. And here's what I'm going to say to you. I value what it is that I have. So you know what? I don't want dickheads to enjoy it. If you're a terrible person, I don't want you to enjoy that because I value this. I hope that I'm being entertaining. And for the audience who like what I do, I'm going to try my best to reward the fact that they have supported me. But so if you're a dickhead who's like, oh, I don't think you're really funny, I'm like, great, because I didn't want to entertain you. Or I have this terrible opinion on this thing. Okay, great, because I also don't want to entertain you.
Go and
find some lesser entertainer to entertain you, and I'm going to try to come up with good entertainment for the people who like me.
And you know what? Maybe it's – look, I like a lot what you're saying, and I like the specifics in what you say it because you're saying, look, I'm not – you don't have to defend what you do, and that's sort of what I do sometimes. I feel like I'm saying what I do is good. And then sometimes I think, really? Is that what I'm supposed to – like, I'm saying what I do is good. If I'm saying that's bad – okay,
well, you're
so
at least allowed
so
to think that you think it's good.
That's what you said perfectly.
I would not fucking eat at a restaurant where the chef wouldn't try the fucking food.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if I don't enjoy my comedy, right. If I don't think it's worth telling to someone, why am I telling it to someone?
And
go and get a fucking job in a shop and keep it to yourself if it's not worth telling people.
Right. And all
like, I'm not saying that everyone's going to dig it, but you've got to at least believe it's worth saying or why you're fucking saying
and
it.
And we shouldn't be – and that, right. And we're saying, like you said, not that I think I'm so great. I think I care about what I'm saying. And I echo the words of my brother. He's a teacher. He said he doesn't have disrespect for teachers that teach differently than him.
Uh-huh.
He goes, no, there's teachers that teach differently than me, and I really don't like the way they teach, but they teach differently than me. He goes, my disdain comes from teachers that don't teach.
Right.
They don't try. They don't pretend to like it. They don't hide that they don't like it. So that's where a lot of his frustration
comes.
My
God, it's
and I feel the same way about comedy.
It's in the word of what we do, though. We describe it as having a sense of humor. Like, it's literally the words we use to describe it. It's a sense of humor. Like, we all have a different sense of humor. Why is comedy one of the only jobs in the world that if somebody doesn't get your sense of humor, like if somebody doesn't like the way that you drive your cab, they don't go, you're not a cab driver. But if somebody, like, doesn't enjoy your sense of humor, they're like, you're not a comedian. I'm like, you know what, my bank manager gave me a loan to buy a house based on the fact that some people think I'm a comedian.
Do you know Doug, I was talking about that with Doug Benson once, and like exactly what we're talking about now, and I think he brought clarity to it in a good way. He goes, now remember, the only way to bring clarity to it is putting yourself in the mind of an audience member. There's a lot of comedy, it's not what they like, but they know it's comedy.
Right, it's comedy.
But here's the category that gets them mad. When they think, no, you're not trying. You're fucking with us, like Gilbert Godfrey. And I remember going to see Gilbert Godfrey when I was 19 years old. And it is amazing to see the people in the audience. They thought even we were mocking them. They didn't get, and I remember this specific, and I think Mitch Hedberg could be an example of this. Uh-huh. Someone at, no, they could go, that's not my thing, and leave and go, boy, that blew. But not the anger of, no, that wasn't comedy. That's when they tend to get like, and I think there were people next to us with Gilbert. They were like, there's no way these kids are enjoying it. Like, it's like, no, we got that he was driving a bit into the ground, and they didn't. And they didn't want to believe that, like, so there's comedy like that today. And I think they get mad when they think like that. They think, no, you're not. You're just trying. That's what gets them the maddest, I think.
I think also people people get angry at things they don't understand.
By the way, I shouldn't say, does that make sense? Someone said that's equivalent to, am I right, ladies? It came
could
from
you, could you say that instead?
No.
In the future.
Am I right, ladies? Someone's guys do the same bit, by the way. For every, I like to take any time when you think a bit is going, hey, well, it is true. Just that was a woman thing. That's what women said out of insecurity,
right.
And then there were men things that were said out of insecurity. Birth groups had their go to. That was just people loved giving the woman one. For example, am I right? Ladies became, but guys, what were the guy ones like? Come on, let me hear you guys. You know, same fucking thing. Am I right, guys? Hey, by the way, that's what it was. Am I right, right guys? So fuck my own argument. I had all in my own head. Listen, here's what I'd like to do. We gotta. When I say going for the close, it's mostly. What time is it?
9:26.
Can we go in for the long close? Do you have like a little like 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes?
Yeah, as long as
can we
like,
take a quick break?
Yeah, I need to go to the bathroom.
Sorry. Okay, that's what I'll find out. I'll find out when we're off the air. They tend to be more honest with me. Now, is that your publicist sitting out in the car?
Yeah.
He waits in there?
It's under hay.
What is it?
It's a monkey. It's a monkey that I've shaved and put glasses on.
But sitting in your car with a computer.
Yeah.
Hold on.
He knows how to use a computer.
No, but folks, by the way, yeah. I swear to God, this is when I told you it's good to have a safe word. There is a monkey.
Yeah.
Turn up the outside spotlight out there.
Well, he's an ape, technically. He's technically an ape. I'm not meant to say that he's like a monkey. He's an ape.
You have him in a black suit?
Well, it's a kid suit, like your grandfather would wear to a funeral. Like,
and he has a bow tie. Am I seeing a bow tie or is my eyesight?
Well, the weird thing was that it wasn't a bow tie when we got here, but he's tied whatever was around his neck into some sort of bow tie. Like, he's seen what you guys were wearing and thought, he's been in the car for a couple of hours. I left the window down so he can breathe.
No, he can't.
He's smoking. He's smoking. I know. It's one of those e-pens, those electronic cigarettes.
Oh, thank God. I feel so much better.
He says they're better.
By the way, even in the bit, I'm glad you made it.
No, seriously, because you can get banana flavored, which he loves as a monkey. he finds that a bit racist when I say that, but I was like, seriously, can it be racist that like a monkey likes bananas?
Well,
that's like a movie.
Here's
thing.
Why it is, to be honest.
And he's like, well, do comedians love slipping on banana peels? I'm like, oh, don't bring up my job. I'm not your clown. I employ you. You only get a percentage of my income. Why are you even mocking me? I mean, you've come to a free podcast. Why are you here? Like, I mean, 15% of nothing, still nothing. Yeah. Doesn't have opposable thumbs. Can't use a calculator. So,
listen,
seriously.
Before we go to break, and I do want to say this, in defending, I'm trying to look for something to play here. You know what? This has been a good one all morning. I really liked it. So, in all defense, what you said about the monkey, I'm just trying to defend your monkey because he's not here. And by the way, oh my God, is your monkey listening on the headphones in the car?
Oh, yeah. My monkey knows how to use headphones.
What does he listen to? Does he listen to music and stuff?
No, he loves podcasts.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, cool.
Loves podcasts.
Does he like mine?
Oh, well, that he loves yours. In fact, he's your biggest fan.
Is that true?
Yeah.
You swear?
Well, that's why he came here tonight. That's actually why he became my manager. My manager monkey, because he knew that eventually I'd get on your podcast and he would come along. And then I made him stay in the car park because I was like, you know what? Hey, it's my first time in. If I get invited back a second time, maybe when I know Todd well enough, I can be like,
"Well, I got to stop you. Your monkey's coming in." Hold on, you guys.
He turned the lamp on because he's reading the Todd Glass situation.
Oh, yeah, he's a big fan.
Wait, folks, I got to stop you because I get it. This is why we have a safe word.
Yeah.
This is the best time because everyone wants to visualize the monkey in the car.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, I think it looks like a Volvo station wagon in case you're wondering.
Yeah, it
I
is.
Swear yeah. to God. That we are telling you what we're seeing.
Yeah.
So he is reading the Todd Glass situation. He's coming in. Let's take a break. Here's what I'd like to do.
Uh-huh.
I have root beer. Uh-huh. I also have some Starbucks, like mocha chocolate things, and we put them in the freezer about an hour ago. Uh-huh. They're probably chipping up a little.
Yeah.
We'll pour them in the glasses. We'll squirt some whipped cream on them.
Yeah.
You'll bring your monkey in here. Uh-huh. And the reason I think
monkey loves whipped cream, by the way. Loves it.
Does he like Sammy Davis Jr.?
Loves Sammy Davis Jr.
You swear?
Loves. He would not.
Oh, hold on. I feel like you're just saying it. Tell me a story about why does he love Sammy? Because I want to make sure my audience is going,
right.
How do I know Will's not just trying to make Todd feel good? How do you know your monkey loves Sammy Davis Jr.?
I'll tell you a true story.
Have a story about you, your monkey, and Sammy Davis Jr.
Well, I mean, it's one degree of separation. From Sammy Davis Jr. My monkey was actually Dean Martin's second wife. This is absolutely true. Absolutely true. He used to drink a lot. A lot of people know that about Dino. He once... I mean, like, what happened in Vegas, that's where the phrase came from. Like, people use that phrase all the time now. What happens in Vegas stayed in Vegas. But things are always said for the first time, right? And the first time that was ever said was when Dean Martin's second wedding, not first wedding, but Dean Martin's second wife was my monkey manager, my male monkey manager. And that was where he said, Sammy Davis
that's
was there that night.
Connection.
He was like, hang on, have you just married a male monkey? And Dino turned to Sammy and said, what happens in Vegas stayed in Vegas. That was origin story. That's where it happened.
All right, then I believe you. So yeah. When we come back, we're going to play the Candyman.
Right.
By the way, I can say this. To George Carlin, we're really going to do this.
Yep.
Now, the whole thing about the monkey, that's true. I swear to God.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I swear to God. Let the monkey in. Because what we're going to do, the thing about bananas, let me get this out real quick.
Okay.
You said that he says that's, you know, racist. And I get what I mean in the monkey world. Because I'll tell you why. Yes, it's how other groups of people get that happens to. It's like if you just pull back a little bit, oh, but it is true. Monkeys do love bananas. Right. You want to say that. You're like, come on, they do. So do I. Sort of shit ton of other people.
Other people, you know, like bananas.
Pick other groups of food. Whatever group of food you associate to one group of people. And by the way, we're not saying certain matzah for legitimate reasons in the Jewish culture. But a lot of times if you look at the food, you go, yeah, everybody fucking likes that. Hence my story we were talking about chicken and Roscoe's. By the way, chicken and Roscoe's at Roscoe's. You got to go in there. You'll go in there, ladies and gentlemen, because of the legendary chicken and the waffles. But you'll find yourself having so many other things on that menu that are so good to eat. Roscoe's, it's open late. You'll like the service. You'll like the food. See, I just
enter the promo code BLACKRAP.
So listen. So we have so much to do in the descent of clothes.
We have to get my monkey in.
I just saw you differently.
Sorry, no, it's okay.
I saw you like a different person.
What do you mean?
Wait, where's Will? And then I found you.
I'm here.
You got lost within your... Yeah. I got lost...
Where's Wildo? It's my book.
Listen, it's your Wildo. Hold on. Uh-huh. So the monkey... Here, okay, I know what I'm saying. So what I mean is we're going to let the monkey in. Of course... Oh, my God.
Yeah, let him in.
He's waving.
Yeah, he's my business monkey.
He's wearing a bow tie and a freak.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to let the monkey in. We're going to have two George Carlin in this part, the coffee drinks with whipped cream, root beer with whipped cream. They're going to be, you know, what we call poor man's sundae in the business.
Right, so.
And then we're going to come back.
PMS.
We are going in. wait. What did you call it?
PMS.
Punky.
Poor man's sundae.
Poor man's sundae. Thank you. By the way, what did I say before the show? I can't. Think of those as quick. Like when I try to think of letters that go with the words, I have to keep but to myself for a minute and go, okay. Like I'll give you an example. To George Carlin, this is true.
MSPCA.
On the what happened when you guys said you were at, okay, I can't even stop to hear what that one was. What was the thing you guys went to Cantor's without me? And I tried to pull off one of those things where you keep the initials real quick.
Okay.
And what did I say? I go, how did I find out you were there? I go, oh, the podcasters.
Yeah,
PPAH. And what's podcast people are here?
Yeah, that was in the business. They text you. Podcast people are here. So I wanted to go. So I said, PCPAH called. They go, what's that? I go, Podcasters Association. They go, Todd, it wouldn't be podcasters. It would be just podcasters. And I go, fuck. And I tried so hard. I was so proud of myself. I went silent for 6 seconds, and I did it in my head. I go, podcasters, podcast people are here. PPAC. And then I do it, and then I fuck it up.
Just for the record, how many podcasts have you done without working out that podcast is just one word?
You think I would have figured that out by now?
Podcast people.
You could see.
Whatever.
You could see how I would think.
It's good.
So we have to come back. Here's what we have to do. Uh-huh. It's somebody's birthday. We have to say happy birthday. I cannot forget this. So listen, we're going to come back. We have a lot to get to, and then we're closing. I had a lot of fun. What do we go to for close? What do we play?
Oh, how about a vault one?
Yes. Play this. We'll be back. You know, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the songs because it really does say everything.
It's knowing that the Podcasters Association of America
will be back
has voted the Todd Glass Show the number one podcast on the air. And it's knowing Todd's not shackled by closed-mindedness at all, flipping arguments and teaching empathy. It's not about how wrong that you've been in the past. It It's more about how good you're going to be. It's not clinging to archaic thoughts and dated points of view long since disproven, or something that somebody said because when they were young their parents spanked them. It's just knowing that Todd saves it up for special episodes, but all the normal episodes agree that although the show is number one, it just keeps getting better. You won't believe how good it's going to be.
Oh, we're back. Is your is the monkey having? Is it an ape? I'm sorry.
It's an ape. He's an ape.
He likes the root beer float, it looks like.
He loves it.
Hey, I hate to do this to you, but I'll edit this part out. Can you really make the monkey like he's so excited to meet you? Is that gross of me to ask you to do that?
No, you don't need to say that. He is excited to meet you. He's so excited to meet you. Like I said to him before, I was like, you know, you have to be like, because you're my business manager, you have to be businesslike. And he was like, oh, I'm so sorry, but I don't know if I can control myself around Todd. That's why I made him stay in the car before, because I didn't want him to embarrass me. Like, I mean, well, he's an ape, Todd. You know what they do when they're excited? Like, I mean, if he starts doing that here, I mean, it's fine at the zoo when we're behind a cage and stuff, but he's like a businessman. I've bought him a suit. That's a suit that a tiny boy could have had. And he's wearing that around. Like, you know, I'm like, I know you're a, like, I said to him, I said, look, I know you're a business monkey, but you're not up to any monkey business. That's what I say to him. That's a little thing that I say. It's a little reversal of, because he's a business monkey.
I pictured
Willie Henderson is here with Todd.
Watch it.
Willie Henderson is here with Todd. Willie Henderson is here with Todd. Willie Henderson is here with Todd.
What happened to you?
Willie Henderson is here with Todd.
You can fade it out now. By the way, when the little ting 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 sound, I wanted to bring a hanger in, but I had nothing here, so I grabbed this this piece of metal and the triangle. I wanted to make the sound of the triangle, so I grabbed just two things in the studio and I hit it.
You hit them together. It looked fantastic.
I couldn't wait to do it. I thought about it all day.
You don't really want to treat your award that way.
I know. Notice I didn't say anything. I just said I took this thing and that thing, and then this guy rats me out. Because I took
award.
It's my podcast, and it's real.
Well, you know, I have to report to the association and...
Oh, right. You don't have to. You see, because I'll admit what I did. I'd rather, took the flashlight and I hit it against the award to make the metal sound. Yeah, this guy's going
to
give
it's
me.
It's just better for me, to be honest.
All right. I apologize.
Well, you've earned that. It's your award.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like,
it is. They
you do
say
it the way you want to do
they
with it.
They say it's lent to you.
Oh, yeah, but it's yours. I mean, but hey, who's going to get it next year? You again. So, you know what I mean? So.
I almost, you got me to do, almost, motherfucker, a real live spit take. And that, I think that what you did is better, because you tricked me. You fucking tricked me. You let me have my mouth full, and then when it was, who's going to win? And it was, by the way, it proves that a compliment can be, make you do a spit take.
Right.
It's just timing. It doesn't have to be an insult. Well, it seems, is a spit take usually an insult? Like
No, it's a sign of recognition.
Yeah. No, like when someone goes, nobody would want to, you know, that's the ugliest house I've ever seen. Are you kidding me?
What?
And then you go, that's my house. And you go, as you're drinking.
Right.
That's a real live spit take. Those moments are great. Do you understand what I mean, Charles?
Yes.
Why don't you take a picture of it and show it to your wife? Fucking vacuum your car if you know what's going on. I had to make this guy pull over once on the trip somewhere, and I've told our audience before, but I think they should know every week,
right,
whenever he's on. And I said, let's pull over and get
I'll
your car washed.
New to it.
Yeah, I made him wash his car on the way to...
Well, hang on. What, inside?
He paid for the car wash.
Inside and outside?
Yes, yeah, of course.
Uh-huh.
Vacuum it. I was like, we have a half an hour. Let's go eat lunch. They gave it like, right, you know, like where they spend maybe like, not a good detail, but a shitty detail.
Right.
It's $30. That's what they did. I got back in the car. I swear to God, I said, Troy, don't you feel better? He goes, I'm not, you know. I said, well, I do. Now, shut up and floor it.
What is in your car, Troy?
No, like, I just always have a lot of stuff, like a lot of Jamba Juice cups and a lot of, you know, wrappers,
stickiness,
beverages.
Where the cup holders are. I fantasize them getting in there with the hot water and just wiping the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
Clean, you touch things, it's
But this
nice.
Day, all that was there was popcorn. Like, there was a lot of popcorn.
Popcorn?
Popcorn.
Yeah. What, are you selling seats?
I make,
Are you like, are you showing a film? Like, what is going on?
I like to show some screens like, on the windshield.
Like, is that where set list started? Like,
yes.
I mean, we're small. We can't book Meltdown first night, right? I mean, we're going to...
Oh, you would fill that thing up.
God damn it. You know what?
How can I get three guys to the car? Popcorn. We'll get them popcorn. That'll get them in.
With popcorn.
By the way, this is why I say, Will, that you have to repeat stories, because if I didn't talk about this in front of you, we would have never thought about it from this perspective. So all I say to any of my guests, if I ever repeat something I've talked about, it's your job. Will freshened it up. So you can't freshen it up, then maybe that's not my responsibility,
because
Will's doing a good job.
Look at the way the Shake... I mean, and I'm comparing these. This is your comparison. But the Shakespearean stories, those same stories, those same plays he wrote, have been reinterpreted and restaged, and, like, you know, they've put them in different times.
They've done
them with different actors, and everything gives you a different perspective on that story that's being told again. Like, you know, so why wouldn't you want to hear a story through fresh ears? Why wouldn't you want to hear how even that same person tells that story again?
Can I ask you a question? And I hear it in your voice. I'm being honest with you. I'm being honest.
Sure.
You're mad.
I'm mad.
At these people that won't send money to my Kickstarter.
No,
I mean, am I right about this? Like, because can I tell you from their perspective,
so
the
weird
way I look at it?
Yeah.
Times are tough, and I get this people that say, I get the joke. It's not funny.
Right.
I sort of do. It makes me not want to do it, but I really love money. I'm not lying. I just thought, God, I really love money. I get the people that are like, all right, but you're pissed off.
No, well, here's my theory, Todd, and this is why I'm angry.
I see it.
That I talk about all of us, and what I mean by that is I mean that you, I mean that I, and I mean that the audience listening and here in the room here tonight, that we all have not enough money to make any change. Like, between us all, if you like even it out, none of us have enough money to, and here's the thing that's unlikely, between us and the people listening to this, probably one of us is never going to have, like, not all of us are going to have enough to change the world. Or our best hope is that one of us can have enough to change the world. Just one of us. And we have to decide right now who that one of us is. And we have to take our money. Because you know what's annoying? Having a little bit of money. You might as well have no money, right? Because then you have no problems. You know where you're at. I have no money, right? Send your money. Send your money to Todd. He needs our money. He can make a difference. That's why I'm angry.
I've never heard you speak like this. Really, this comes from your heart.
Why I'm angry. Australians all, let us rejoice, for we are young and free. With golden shores and wealth for toil, our home is girt by sea. Our land abounds with nature's pains, with beauties rich and rare.
The Gaffigans gave $100, I should point out.
$100?
Yeah. Not enough, is it?
100?
I know, part of me goes, oh my God, that's more than...
100?
Is that... I thought it was me. Is that...
Like, he's got that Hot Pockets money.
That's what I thought.
Oh, man.
Genius. Like, by the way...
There's like 100 in, like, the, you know, in the cigarette holder in the car. That's loose change. 100.
Well, I got to tell you, Jeannie Gaffigan gave it, in all fairness. Jim didn't give shit.
Nothing.
No. I mean, he... What? Although I will tell you this...
Can't get change from $1 million check.
Thank
Gaffigan.
You. Thank you very much. Yeah, I will tell you this.
Yeah.
That he did motivate me to start it. He goes, do it. The joke is every day in all caps you put, hello, I want more money.
Right,
but he hasn't given a red cent. Jeannie, maybe they gave it
as
a
couple.
Well,
he gave you the idea. You know what? He gave you the idea.
You know what? There's nothing wrong with
it. He could have asked for money for himself.
So, but I've never seen you mad like that. But as far as I go, if you got it, you send it. Okay.
Well, just send it.
All right. Did
Who
you,
else are you going to give it to?
What are you, as we go in, the last thing we're going to do, fade that out, and then we're
That's my national
we're good.
Anthem.
There's so much.
It has the word Gert in it, just for the record. Yep. Home is Gert by C. people don't use the word Gert as much as you would. We use it in our national anthem.
By the way, Todd, before I know we're winding down to a close, and I've been mostly off mic here for this. But I got it.
Someone's. Hold on one second.
Really quick.
But before we do that, I got to say it's someone's birthday.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Now, maybe by the music, the person can figure out who it is. Can you figure out who it is? You listen to the show, and your girlfriend, who I got a very nice email from, to George Carlin, this is true. And we don't do it for everybody, but we feel so good. At, you know, off record, Will goes, I said, I don't know if I should do it. Will goes, come on, you owe it. And it's somebody's birthday, and his name is Josh Snow, and his girlfriend Emma called in, emailed in. Well, happy birthday, Mike. That's what you get. Okay, this is it. I play music. It says let it snow. You know what? You have a very nice... What is that? Is that trumpet?
By the way, why is it Let It Snow? Because of his name?
His last name is Snow.
That's very smart of you, by the way, Todd. I felt like that was a very strong choice.
Listen to the reverb and maybe pretend we're all meditating. Fade the music out. Fade the music out. You keep coming. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Oh, I thought there was a cookie. Shut the music off.
Stupid.
Shut the fuck up. They've been doing this bit off to George Carlin where they take an empty wrapper and they bring it over to somebody and they go, hey, do you want some gum? And you're really in the mood for gum. And you get excited. But they put an empty cookie wrapper in front of me and they knew I would see it and get excited. And I was like, oh, a cookie. Aristotle gave me his cookie.
Stupid.
All right. Listen,
happy birthday to Kelly Carlin.
And happy birthday to Kelly. Let it, Carlin. My hands. I got to wipe my hands.
Wipe your hands. But by the way, Todd, while you wipe your hands, do you mind if I just ask your guest a couple questions?
What are you talking about?
I'm doing, like, it's only, like, less than a minute long, but I'm just trying to save money. I can't really afford to do a podcast of my own, so I try to save money, resources.
What?
Well, while I'm, I just
no,
figured
out. I'm going into close here. We're already going over. Are you shitting me?
No, I'm just saying, while, it's less than a minute.
You
while
can't
I'm
do
here,
a podcast during my podcast, no, because we, Aristotle won't even give you the, he's not going to give it to you.
No, hold on. I just thought
you were kidding me.
I just want to interview Will. He's here. I'm here. Your equipment's recording. I can get the MP3 later from you.
But what are you going to ask him? What are you going to ask him that I didn't ask him? We just did it. We had fun. Well, we were silly.
Just a couple questions, and then I got to play my intro music. Jake, can we play?
No, we don't have your fucking intro music.
I sent Jake my intro music, and I want to just play it. Do a quick. It's very fast, Todd. Let's just do it.
Welcome to the Troy Conrad Mini Podcast, rated number one mini podcast by the Mini Podcasters Association of America.
What? Mini Podcasters? Where'd you get that jingle?
Hi, this is Troy Conrad, and I'm here with my guest is Will Anderson. Will, great to be with you. Will,
this
I just had...
This is ridiculous. Are you going to do this?
Yeah, I guess, while he's asking me some questions.
Todd, I feel like you're... Okay, let's start this over. Uh-huh. Will Anderson, good to be with you.
Thank you, Troy.
On the Troy Conrad mini podcast.
Play trumpet for them.
Will, just a couple quick questions, couple short answers. That's how we do things. Did you grow up in the city or the country?
I grew up in the country, Troy.
And
do you? I knew I should ask him questions like that.
Do you believe?
I should have said where you're from. Maybe that is a good question.
And do you believe in God or do you not believe in God?
I don't believe in God.
All right. Well, this has been the Troy Conrad Mini Podcast. I thank my sponsors of the show. Tofop Podcast, the David Feldman Show, the Jen Kirkman I Seem Fun Podcast, and the Bill Burr Monday Morning Podcast. You can download it on BillBurr.com.
This has been the Troy Conrad Mini Podcast. You have now fulfilled your daily requirement for podcasts, and you can turn off the main podcast you have been listening to.
Lyricist Joe, you're great.
I mean, it was.
I love that concept of you just.
I'm trying to get people to turn you off.
You can't do my. And you call yours number one by the mini podcast. Yeah. Like, you technically get around it by using a different name. How much did you call? By the way, to George Carlin, I did not hear that.
I know. Yeah,
how did you get in touch with him?
I emailed Joe.
About, okay.
You gave me his email, but you did not hear the bit, and I wanted you to not hear the bit.
All right. Well.
Thank
it's
you.
It's time to say goodbye.
You'll write a book.
One day. I could never write a book. I hear about everyone's writing a book. I could never. I don't know if I have anything. I mean, I have a lot to say, but not for a book.
Just keep recording.
Maybe that's not a good advertisement for my book. That was me a year ago before I wrote. I could never. Listen, we got to say goodbye. So let me. That was fun. It's hard to say goodbye. That should be a song. What could we do to close? Thank you, by the way. You were just. You were fun.
It was fun.
Oh, man.
Thank you very much. I don't need to plug anything, but my monkey manager wants to mention Rise of the Planet of the Apes. This is coming out. Just really excited to be.
Can I say
he wasn't actually involved in the film, but he just big supporter of apes in films.
Does your dog Romana? Fuck. I shouldn't yell into the mic. Romana. The ape for the bit. I wanted to be the ape. Came in. I was nice to the ape, right?
Yeah, of course you were.
But it got too excited. Nice. He got so excited.
Well, he is excited. But to me,
I heard you in the other room. You're like, come on.
I was like, seriously, dude. I was like, I can't bring you out to this sort of stuff.
He loves my podcast.
I said,
much.
I'm going to bring the dingo over from Australia if you don't fucking behave. I had a dingo looking after my business in Australia.
By the way,
they are mean spirited. They'll take your baby as soon as I look at it. But they're good in a contract negotiation. That's who you want, not a dingo. You want a dingo. You don't want a koala riddled with syphilis or a platypus. Who even knows what the fuck that is? You can't trust that in a business meeting. Kangaroo can't type with those tiny arms.
Oh, no.
I mean, big hind legs, very athletic, and, you know, but no good in a business situation. A wombat. A wombat's surprisingly good, to be honest, but you wouldn't know it, but they're slow moving, your wombat. That's the problem. Emu, I'll tell you about your emu. He can't fly, but I'm telling you, he can run the pants off a kangaroo. That's a song. Emu, check it out.
Listen.
iTunes.
Probably, I got to tell you something.
Probably not there, Spotify or something.
Do you want to go out into the street with me with a camera on Friday? We'll go up to people for like a relationship show. We'll say, hey, when it comes to relationships, do you think fucking is cheating? And what would people say? Do you think fucking is cheating? Okay, it's 10:03. Jesus Christ.
Okay, whatever.
We're up against the hard. We're up against.
I mean, we're just suddenly asking the big questions, and now we have to wrap it up.
I know.
Is fucking cheating? Of course it's not always.
Thank you. Of course it's not. How could fucking be cheating? Next thing you won't be able to look at somebody. That's somebody really that takes it to the nth degree.
Here's what I think. I think more people love each other than I know so many people who love their partners who fucked other people. So I'm here. So I reckon that maybe it's not as important. If we stop worrying about that bit of it and we worried about who we loved the most and spent the most time with and cared about the most and we're just honest about that, then it wouldn't really matter.
Can I tell you something? Even though I would agree with you if we sat down and thought, what's that like if you would accept that? Would it be difficult? Yeah, it would be difficult. It's not like you haven't thought that through. But you're comparing what is to what this thing you would maybe want to be is. You're not comparing it to – because what is it's not working. And I think a lot of people, when they think of looking at this, you know, the sanctity of marriage, it's not like you're not defending it because there's somebody out there going, hey, I want to go out and get fucked. I want to. Hey. No, some people that really want to settle down, those marriages don't work. And
right.
We can either figure out why, and what you're suggesting might be a very valid reason. It's not working. By the way, you're not going into an institution that's working. And going, I don't like it. It's not working. Otherwise, you wouldn't be looking to fix it.
Okay. Firstly, half of the people who go into a marriage, like half of it doesn't work. Like statistically, half of it doesn't work, right? Secondly, you've got the idea that two people who join together, you're lucky enough in the world that you can hit a time in your life where two people's lives are entwined enough that you can both grow as human beings without growing apart. But most of the time, you're going to grow at different rates or at different times. And you know what? We're just people. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. Sometimes things can go wrong and they can go right and you can fix them because you're like, I like this person more than I like most other people.
But let me ask you, are you, if you were in a relationship, and you could you have an open... Because believe me, I what the
I
ans-
mean,
the answer to
theoretically
this-
versus actually is a very different...
Yeah.
Here's what I would say is, I think there are a lot of people in open relationships who don't realize they're in open relationships. And I wonder if it would be any less hard if we were a bit more honest about... Like, I don't even know if you have to actually say to the other, like, but if we just acknowledge as a society that that's already what is happening. Let's not pretend it's a choice we're trying to make. It's already happening. People are already having affairs and open relationships and all those things.
God forbid there's couples listening to the show right now. You're killing them. I'm kidding, but no, I'm serious. But I don't care. They don't care, and I don't care. But there's something. Imagine, you know, there's two people sitting in a room right now. They're like, you know, maybe play this. Just this is what people are hoping for. They're like, just play some background music so it doesn't seem as something. Todd, could you play anything in the background, something as you're talking about it? All right. I just like to get my money's worth.
Do you know what I enjoy the most about that is, though, also the image of how you think that people listen to this podcast?
A husband and wife.
Like, I love the idea of a
husband and wife
sitting down to listen to your podcast together.
That's how I picture it, with bow ties and nice, very clean.
By the way, why do we I've never known Will to be a bow tie guy. Why are we wearing bow ties for Will?
Why don't you mind your own business?
Okay.
Who asked you? Because the bow tie... Where's monkey bow ties?
Oh, it's a monkey thing.
It's a monkey thing.
Okay, now I get it.
Oh, I wanted to show the monkey respect. No, I didn't know the monkey. Honestly, to George Collin, why did I have everyone wear bow ties? Well, I think it makes the place look a little more respectful when we have a guest coming in.
Okay, that makes sense.
You know, not like these other fucking guests I don't give a shit about. You think I give a fuck about the fucking... I don't even want to do a bit where I say that. I care about
everybody.
And to
be honest, even though the monkey's got a bow tie, and like even though he's got the jacket and the top, he's not wearing any pants. So, like, I mean...
Oh, I know why the bow ties. Because Will has an accent. I thought it was deserving of a bow tie. It's like, oh, look at us. We're wearing bow ties. Show them, like, we have a little... It's like someone once said, you know the rich person accent? Now, I don't know if the person who told me this made this up, but to me, I bet there's legitimacy to it. And I asked them, where did that come from? Like the, hello, how are you, you know? I go, is that real or is that, you know, obviously we see a parody of that growing up when we watched Gilligan's Island or any character that was like, hello, Muffy, you know? It was a parody of a rich person, but that comes from somewhere. And this is what someone told me once, a long time ago. Yeah, it does. It comes from a certain group of white people that wanted to give themselves more of an affected because English people had an accent and it sounded more regal. So they affected this rich voice, and it was a little just hello. When they told me that, I went, that makes sense, but I don't know if that's true or not. Could we do some homework? Can someone listening do some homework? Can you do something, Will?
No, I can't do anything.
Wait, are you saying that the British accent exists because they wanted to sound...
No, that British is different. No, I'm not saying that. It's not British. British is British.
No, it's the, like the posh, the upper class.
The posh accent.
Yes. But because of that.
Oh,
of
course. I see what you're saying.
Oh, what do you think? I'm an idiot?
I'm saying, did they affect that on purpose or did it happen after the fact?
You know what? That's why I'm saying that story I heard could have been bullshit. All right, listen, let's go to close with... Whew, it's not easy.
You want me to do another interview?
This is good. Thank you. I thanked you for coming. Thank you. And I thank everybody. Thank you, Aristotle. Thank you, Jake, over there. Thank you, KC. Did you write this song? And I know we're going to close, but did you write this?
It was a car. It was a car ride.
It's no E63. Can you just listen and tell me if you wrote it? Because you're shaking your head. No,
I did the music. The lyrics.
Shut it off. Shut it off. Can I be honest? And I'm swearing to God, and before we laugh, because we were going to make fun of it a little bit, and we maybe did it. We totally lied to you. A teeny bit on the last show, but hardly any at all. Meanwhile, we did it for an hour.
Yeah.
We do. We get caught up in the lyrics. Sure. None of us ever thought, try to listen to it, everybody. Right. Will you let it breathe and don't think of the lyrics? Listen to the beat. The beat, right?
That's what I would ask people, because you know what? When they asked me to write this bit of music...
You didn't know.
They said it was going to be an instrumental. I was lied to. It was actually why I went into comedy. My original love was music, but I felt so bad after this because I wrote something that was about, it was about my dead grandmother.
And this was worse now.
It was a tribute to her. It was a musical tribute to her.
Originally?
Originally. And I didn't understand anything about copyright law. And so they took the music and they added those lyrics.
What year was this, by the way?
62.
And it they even got that wrong.
It was the year before. When I wrote it, they added the lyrics the year after, obviously, because it was later on. And so it was a moving tribute to my grandmother, and now every time I hear it, it's like someone's – well, it's like somebody's dug up my grandmother and they put their cock in her ear. That's what it feels like in my ears.
Here's what I'd like to do in honor of the song. Yeah, and by the way, I did not know that. We're going to listen to it.
Well, I mean, it surprises me that you didn't know that, though. If you did any research,
I knew it. Didn't. These guys.
It feels weird that you would have talked about it last night and then invited me in the week after and not known there was a connection. I mean, it seems weird that you wouldn't. You know what I mean? I've enjoyed myself, but it seems weird that, obviously, as the person who wrote that, 1 week after you made fun of it, of course that's why you invited me here. That's why I brought my monkey manager, because I knew this was going to happen. I knew eventually it was going to get weird over the song. And I said, that's why you've got to come.
Okay, David. Seriously?
Yeah.
I have nothing but respect for you. And I did not know.
Yeah.
That's why, first of all, I'm going to get to prove that I'm being genuine.
Sure.
I'm going to let the whole song play. We're going to close the podcast with it. And I know sometimes when a jury will be told, strike that from the record, it's very hard to.
Right.
But I'm going to ask everybody in the podcast studio, I think you're going to like this. The words are there. We can't take them out right now. We don't have the type of equipment that could take the words out of the song. But we're going to listen.
Uh-huh.
We're going to let the song play, and we won't listen to the words. We'll just try to enjoy the beat.
Please.
Is that okay? Make you happy?
Well, and the melody.
And the melody, too.
And the melody.
Okay, so the melody
beat,
you
the
did,
beat
too.
And the melody.
Okay. We want to say thank you for coming.
Let's
try to – all the listeners that we cannot – obviously, if we take off the podcast, we were sort of poking fun of the words. The words. Nobody –
please just try to ignore.
Matter of fact, can I say something? To George Carlin, you can go back and listen to it. Nobody ever made fun of the melody, I don't think. Now, if they did, I'm not remembering. I think it was totally the words. So don't listen to the words. Yeah. Just think of a more beautiful song.
Yeah.
And we'll take it to close. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Don't listen to the words, seriously.
Please don't.
Seriously, folks, don't.
I first met him in the classroom back in 1963.
Okay, shut it off. Shut it off. I know if I'm listening to the words, everybody is. Stop listening to the words. You heard him. I first met him in the classroom.
Don't listen.
It's very hard to do. It's very Buddha-like. Or what would you say? Yoga.
Zen.
Yeah.
Take the words out and just listen to the. If you try real hard, really, really hard.
Just when you hear that boom, 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 imagine my dead grandmother, please.
So just please.
It's very whimsical music. I mean, there's a lot to really discover just in the melody.
Intro. Okay, before there's words.
Just listen, try really hard, and I think you can just listen to the beautiful beat and the rhythm. And
please.
Here we go.
Respectfully.
I'm relaxed already.
We'll take you to close. Good night, everybody.
Do you feel it?
I don't know if I'm just thinking I'm not hearing the words. This is the most beautiful, I swear to you. Right. This is poetry.
Right.
Is this what the Buddha was looking for?
Oh my God, I just fell asleep. It's like poetic.
Right.
I am so sorry.
I feel like this is what, when they, in the movie Contact, they were able to decipher something from the aliens. This is the message we're supposed to hear as human beings that make us who we are.
Folks, we're going to say goodnight. We're going to let the song play. We're going to keep listening, but we're going to say goodnight and let the song breathe and show it the respect it deserves. We'll know when you've had enough. Good night.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.